listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and of course, you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, coming to you through People's Internet Radio and ShakeAndWakeRadio.com and the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Thanks for joining the show today. And I always start my shows off, guys, with a little bit of plug for the stations. They're all, we are viewer-supported stations that we don't get support from anybody but our audiences. So if you like what the stations are doing, please, I know times are tough, but please try and reach in your pocket and throw a few bucks towards them. I know they would much appreciate any help, even a couple dollars, a cup of coffee. So thanks a lot for doing that. And always like to thank my producer because I forget a lot of times at the end of the show to do it. Steve Roberts for producing for me today, and also Steve is filling in the first hour here because my guest had to go to the hospital on a call for his dad. So Steve is just going to sit in for the first hour, and Dave Delisle is joining me. Dave was the PPC candidate for somewhere there in northern Ontario. I don't know exactly what riding it was, Dave, but I know you're up there north, way up north where the igloos are. But thanks for joining me, guys, and filling in on short notice. I know we have a ton of stuff that we'd like to talk about. Dave, what's on your mind? And Steve, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
First of all, I ran the Algoma Manitoulin campus casing riding. Okay, did fairly well, done better, but hey, we all could have. But now's the time for that. But yeah, we're living in some interesting times, let me tell you. Politically, seismically, we got so many things going on. And this lockdown stuff is just driving people crazy. There's so many people that are they're losing their mind, people committing suicide over this. And, I mean, the reality is that this has got to stop. People have to stand up and say enough is enough.
Yeah. I think you're really kind of understating it there a little bit, Dave, because what this is doing to our community and to our world right now is beyond anything I thought I would see in my lifetime. I thought that we were supposed to be intellectual beings, that we were supposed to be able to think things through and always look at maybe the other side of the story. But what we're dealing with now, buddy, is just, it's absolutely decimating our society in all aspects. It doesn't matter what part of society you look at, it being majorly affected here in Canada by it. And the same thing's going on down the United States, is it not, Steve?
Well, it's not just the United States, it's not just Canada, it's all over the world. You know, I've mentioned probably to you quite a few times, and I know I've mentioned on my own show, but they have studied us for a long, long time. They have multiple PhDs in their think tanks that have studied us, and all of these psychological studies, everybody that enters a psychological study, there are always two reasons why the psychology departments want to study us. You know, one is just for their own particular scientific reasons, but the other is also to share with the think tanks. They already knew before any of this started years and years and years ago, that there were going to be people that committed suicide because of the lack of physical interaction. There's also a ulterior motive to the 6 feet or the 2 meter. I'm sorry, it'd be 3 meter, wouldn't it? No, I was right the first time. 2 meters.
Yeah, 2 meters.
Yeah. Well, there is a known and readable physical connection when somebody comes in contact with you within that 6 feet, that 2 meters, there is a different physical connection between people. You know, and the masks don't help any. I know you've talked about this, Barry, that people don't smile anymore. People really don't have a reason to smile anymore. They already knew decades ago that people were going to commit suicide. People were going to just give up, and you know, it's working.
Well, you know, Steve, we got to take into consideration the amount of people in our society now that are on antidepressants and psychotropic drugs. Now we're throwing into the factor we're starting to deprive the amount of oxygen. We're recycling your own carbon dioxide. I just read a study on how these drugs interact with that kind of when that starts happening to your body. What happens to your body when hypoxia is thrown into the equation with psychotropic drugs? And I was reading a little article on it here a couple of days ago from a doctor down in the States, and he was talking about how it absolutely magnifies the depression states of people that are using psychotropics. We know that people that are on antidepressants are very, very suicidal. Well,
the psychotropic
minds, and it's just a problem. It's adding to it, Steve. And
yes,
that's never talked about anywhere in any media at all, that the effects that this is having on that particular sector of society. And I believe, I don't want to misquote myself, but I believe there's about 60,000 or 70,000 or million Americans on some form of psychotropic today, Steve. So, boy, we're just making that situation a whole pile worse. Go ahead.
Well, that's possible. I'm not sure if they are putting young people with ADD and ADHD in that same characterization or not. You know, somebody would have to research that, but there are millions and millions and millions of people that are on psychotropics, and they have been proven to magnify any sort of emotional response that you will have.
Oh, absolutely. I was talking about that because I read a little clip on it the other day, Steve, and like, I'm not an expert on anything, but it makes sense to me, of course. You know, so I kind of just thought I'd bring that up. But what we're doing to our children, we should all, any parent that puts a mask on a child, I had to stop on the street the other day and talk to a family because she had masks on a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7 and maybe a 9-year-old child walking down the street with masks on. And I was compelled. I just could not help myself. Yeah. But I was very, very polite, and I approached him, Steve. And
yeah.
I said, would you please just listen to a couple things I want to tell you about masks on children? And I was being very polite, looking her right in the eyes, and my heart was open. And she did. She listened to a few things I said. On the conversation, I just asked the lady to please, please go home, punch in your computer, go on Google, any Google search engine, and study the effects of hypoxia on small children. Please. And it'll just absolutely astound you. Don't take my word for this. Please, as an adult, responsible adult, I think that's what I said to her, would you just go please look at this? And she told me she would. And I'll just leave it at that, Steve. I cannot tolerate it. I absolutely cannot tolerate people putting masks on children because they just don't know what they're doing to their child.
I think I have told you, and if I haven't, I will right now, but 35 years ago, I worked in a factory with pretty much kind of deadly chemicals, and I had to wear a air-fed respirator mask. It was our own fault because we were all young and dumb, and we didn't listen to the foremen or whatever. But we were told to clean our masks on a daily basis, and we didn't. And I did end up getting hypoxia and a pleurisy. Those are two of the main things. Except that I mean, I wanted to die at the age of 21, 22 or whatever. It was...
That's amazing, Steve.
Yeah, it knocked me out, and I wanted to die.
Well, you know, Dave, I'm going to get your opinion on this in a second, but you know what really bothers me most, the gentleman, about this whole mask situation is that you're hearing from the health authorities, the so-called health authorities, to put these masks on and wear them, but you do not hear a single word about the proper use of face masks. You do not hear a single word from any health authority in the world about we're forcing this mandate on society. We're telling everybody to put their masks on, but they do not talk about how to use them properly. And they should all be taken out and hung for that, Steve, because putting on one of these masks and taking it off, and I've seen this all the time, people driving around with them on their mirrors, on the windshield, and they got their little mask, and they have to go into the store for a minute because the store's got, you got to have to go in the store, so they put it on, and they come back out and they hang it up, and they put it on again. And some people are doing this continuously with one mask. Well, the amount of bacteria that's growing in that mass, folks, you know, we're gonna see major rises, and we're already seeing it in bacterial pneumonia, in black gum diseases, all kinds of things that are associated with rebreathing your own carbon dioxide and reducing your oxygen intake. We're starting to see the effects of this. And on a child, guy, this just absolutely drives me insane because I've listened to some of the neurologists that talk about this on the internet. Real well-known neurologists that study these things, and they're telling us that this is doing permanent neurological damage to our children. Permanent. Can't be reversed. And it makes sense at that time in their life that they're most susceptible to anything that's happening to their bodies. The last thing we want to do is reduce their intake of oxygen and start feeding their own carbon dioxide back into their body. Go ahead, Dave. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, Barry, and I'll tell you, I, from personal experience, having COPD and going into the hospital for cancer treatment, I had one of the nurses tell me I had to wear a mask regardless. I said, look, you got to understand, I have COPD and asthma, and if I wear a mask, I'll pass out.
I have COPD myself.
Was simply, we'll give you oxygen.
I have COPD myself, too, yeah.
I mean, come on. Come on, it's ridiculous. Now, if you think... Okay, with the COPD and asthma, if I'm going to pass out, it's got to be creating some kind of negative effect on people who are healthy.
Absolutely. Steve, you wanted to say something?
Well, yeah, I've got COPD myself, so I get it.
Well, it's funny that they do that. I don't understand the logic. Now, if you talk to a doctor off the record, and I have spoken to some doctors off the record who have said, yeah, this stuff it's a scam, really. But for the record, they have to tell you what the agenda is.
Right.
What their narrative is.
If anybody's looking at this right now in Canada, Dave, they would be screaming at their government because the numbers right across the country, and I just looked at them. I looked at them yesterday. I looked at them earlier this week. They are cascading down to zero, nothing. In other words, they cannot even support the cases right now, even with their phony tests. This is disappearing in our society. And yet what we've heard from our government this week is they're going to ramp up restrictions, that our minister, our health minister, come out and says that we better be ready for two more years of this, Dave. And, oh, by the way, you got to wear two or three masks now because one is not sufficient. Do you believe this?
I'll tell you, Gary.
Huh?
Barry, what gets me is the fact that they know exactly when these new strains or this new lockdown is going to start. When have they ever been able to accurately diagnose a flu? Which apparently we don't have a flu anymore.
No, it's gone. It's gone.
How do they know that this is going to happen? Unless, A, they're purposely releasing this stuff, or B, they have some kind of inside information with respect to the people that are releasing it.
Well, Dave,
because there is no way you can say, well, on this day at this time, this thing is the next phase is going to come out.
Really? Well, Dave, what do you think, Steve?
Dave, it's the same way that they get this information that Bill Gates gets that there's going to be another pandemic.
Well, Bill Gates doesn't even want to take the shot.
No, that's Zuckerberg.
They got the playbook. Playbook's in front of them. They're just following it chapter to chapter. They know when the next, they've already announced in Canada here that the third wave is coming in April. Of course, it'll all come out in April, but there's a new wave and blah, 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 new variant, new this, new that, and they'll just continue. Why don't they just tell people the truth and tell them that these lockdowns are going to go on forever, that they're not going to go away? Then you'd see people get up and rise up against the government.
But that's why they don't.
That day, every month, it's another extension, another extension, another extension. It's never, ever, ever going to go away unless people stand up to this.
I don't know.
The liberal tells the truth. It's like a witch having water thrown on her. They obviously melt or something.
Did you see what I posted just a few days ago, Barry?
Which one was that? I get 100 posts a day.
Oh. Well, it was literally. It was something to the effect. I'm not sure if it was Sweden or Switzerland or something like that, but it came out of there that the COVID has mutated once again, and now this I'm gonna go to my wall just to make sure I don't screw it up, but it says something about you're not even going to be able to, you won't even be able to find out if you have it and there's no symptoms or something like that. I go ahead and continue. I'll find out exactly what it said. So
there's going to be an invisible disease, but you got
yeah, it. Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to lock pandemic down for 5 years.
With them calling it a pandemic, I keep thinking, you know what? I got to get myself a cloak and a wheelbarrow and just walk down the street with a sign that says, bring me your dead, because people should be falling in, dying in the streets with it if it's a pandemic. True, it's not happening.
It's never even reached the level of a class one pandemic. If you go into the, if you look up pandemic in the encyclopedia and go do searches on what it means, they have five levels of pandemic stated. And the fifth is when 7 to 8% of the society you're in are directly affected. In other words, what we saw in China with people dropping in the streets, that would be a class five pandemic. That's about as bad as it can possibly get. But what we've seen in Canada, based on our numbers, we have not even reached number one level of a pandemic.
Oh.
But of course, they didn't use the word pandemic for a reason. They used it for a reason, of course, because it's so close to panic, it's not even funny.
I just thought it, Barry.
Pandemic. The first day that Trudeau came on the TV there and said, we are dealing with a worldwide pandemic, and we are going to, and of course, this is when all the pictures are coming out of people being dropping in the dead and carts of dead people and people up street, vehicles going down streets and spraying houses, and it was just absolutely out of control. Trudeau gets on the TV and tells us we're all going to see at least 50 to 350,000 people die. We're going to flatten the curve for 14 days, guys. That was a year ago. This, folks, this is never, ever going to go away. Because they are drunk with power, Dave. They are absolutely gotten people to a point now where people are walking down the street in fresh air and wearing masks.
I just found a headline, Barry. I just found headline. It came out of Finland. New Finnish COVID strain discovered may not show up in tests and could spread undetected. Yes, they put that for a headline.
Undetected. So how are you going to detect it?
Wait a minute. It may not show up in tests, and it could be spreading undetected. They actually put that.
Yeah, it's undetected, so it's not really affecting anybody.
And it won't show up in tests either.
Well, hey, Trudeau will grab that one, buddy. Don't let Trudeau see that. Because we'll be hearing that in Canada through our mainstream in a couple days, man.
Yeah.
Is so stupid that I get frustrated, guys. I really do. I gotta admit, I get to a point where I want to scream at people, because this is so in our face now, all these changes in our society and where they're taking us with this, that it's really difficult for me some days to try and stay calm with people, but I'm managing to do that because I know if I blow up, I'm just going to lose them. So, but I gotta admit, it's very frustrating for me.
It's funny, Barry, that, you know, every day more and more you see doctors and nurses coming out and saying, hey, look, you know, this isn't what they're saying it is. And there's all this censorship and they're being disciplined for coming out. And a lot of the people that are taking these vaccines, and I've seen a lot of information on this, they're dying or they're getting serious health effects from it. Why would I want to take something that could possibly kill me when I am in the at-risk group? Like, really?
Well, I was talking to a person in Barrie, Ontario, Dave, about the Porter Creek Senior Care Center, where 66 people have died since the 10th of January in that one facility. And they didn't report this, and you know what? I don't know if I should actually say this on the radio, but I was talking to a person in Barrie, Ontario, and apparently 129 people in that home volunteered, some of the seniors, to take the COVID shot. And it's in that group of volunteers where the deaths have occurred. So we see this going on across the country right now. The same thing just happened in Prince Rupert, where all of a sudden a place called the Acropolis Manor, they're dropping like flies. Well, they've also taken...
Do you see it on the MSN? That's the thing. Do they mention it at all on MSN or on the regular...
Complete censorship on what's going on with vaccines. Okay, they're not going to tell the public that there's any of these new deaths are related to the people actually taking the vaccine. There's a complete quash on it because we're up against a monster that's siphoning our society into a certain direction. You're right, Dave. There's all kinds of scientists and doctors all over the world right now coming out and speaking against this, but you never hear a single word about it on mainstream media. That's a tragedy, and that's correct. It's got to come to a stop.
I mean, for me, the only pandemic that we really need to worry about is the globalism. That's the pandemic, because their goal is to kill a bunch of us off. And I mean, Trudeau himself has said that the old stock Canadians are useless people and he needs to get rid of them. And what better way to get rid of them than to vaccinate them to kill them?
Well, he's come out and said he wants our pensions too. So what better way to get the pensions, eh? Kill them and that's it?
Yeah. He gets all the pension money if the old stock Canadians are gone.
And
look at what communism has done over the years. People that are disabled or old, they're useless in their narrative, in their agenda, because they're not going to work and they're not going to produce anything for them, so get rid of them.
Of course.
And this is what's been happening for years and years and years with... You know, communism with the Nazis did it. It's happened in, well, all the communist countries have done it. Cuba, China, Russia, and in Germany. I mean, it's just crazy. And people aren't seeing the truth, and they're not willing to look at the fact that, hey, look, there has to be more answers than this. There's more to it than what they're telling us. But people, like, for some reason, if you are a critical thinker in this day and age, you're like the plague.
Yep.
And you're treated as if you're a plague.
Well, of course, Dave. They're going to come after you. I mean, if you read the Communist Manifesto, and that's one book that I have read. It's been a few years since I read it. But if you read that book, my friend, you're going to see exactly what's going on in our society today, right, paragraph for paragraph. They're following the manifesto right to the T. We are in a soft coup right now in Canada. We do not have a voice in government. That you have the NDPs, the Conservatives, the Liberals, the Greens. They're all on board with the globalist agenda. They might have lipstick on, but they're all – the Conservatives are wearing lipstick. But they're just as global as the Liberals, as the NDPs. So what do we have for a voice in Canada in opposition right now? They are basically doing anything they want in this country, anything. And there is no kickback. Against, or the Canadian people have no way of stopping it.
There's no voice.
Basically in a dictator.
Right. There's no voice.
Well, of course. So, I mean, all this stuff that Trudeau is doing in our country right now, he's got Canadians infuriated. The whole country's infuriated. How did this guy get back in? Well, were they using Dominion voting machines, Dave? Yes, they were. Imagine that, eh?
Why did they come after the PPC? Because our voices were the ones that were going to listen to the people. We were the ones who were going to speak for the people. Why would they try so hard to shut us down? Because they don't want that to happen. Because they know that as the message gets out, more and more people are going to see the light and say, oh, you know what? You're right. And they can't afford it. The Liberals or the agenda can't afford to have that happen. And they're going to do it again in the next election. That's why Trudeau doesn't want people to vote in person. He wants them to vote through the Dominion machines or mail-in ballots or something to that effect.
Yeah, he's setting that up right now, Dave.
And we need to get through to people that, hey, listen, the PPC stand for the people. We will do for the people what the people need. We will meet their needs by doing the things that are necessary to bring Canada forward.
Well, right now, you know, in Canada here, we don't really have a choice. We have the mainstream parties that are all working against our country, or you have the PPC. And we won't dwell on that one too much, Dave, but if people go and read, they're interested in what's going on in Canada, you go read the platform. Go on the internet and look up the People's Party of Canada and read their platform. Read everything they say about everything that's going on in our country right now. And everything they say makes sense. Everything they talk about is true conservative values being invoked back in our society. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Maxine here in the next couple of weeks, Dave. I'm waiting to hear back from him. But one of the things that we really need in Canada, and any politician that would implement this in Canada would get my support, is recall legislation. So the people in Canada have a way of taking the government down when the government completely goes rogue on them, which has happened in Canada. Justin Trudeau is the most evil thing that ever walked the planet Earth. He is so in bed with communist China. It's unbelievable. He's selling our country out. He's destroying our economy. He's destroying our country, our culture. He's destroying everything that's good in Canada. He's opening up the gates wide to immigrants, and the immigrants he's allowing into this country aren't any Anglo-Saxon immigrants, aren't coming in. It's all immigrants coming from one particular word, one particular part of the world with one ideology. So you tell me what he's doing. Well, no, I mean, most of the people coming into Canada are Muslims. I believe that the numbers, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Dave, but the numbers are very, very high that he's bringing that particular part of the world because Justin Trudeau is a Muslim himself. So,
and Somalia is one of the big countries that he's drawing from. And that's a bad thing because nobody's being vetted. Look, I got nothing against immigration whatsoever.
Neither do I.
Where I have a problem is that people aren't being vetted. Now, even the people who have come here from all these other countries are standing up and saying, hey, wait a minute, you need to vet people. The stuff that we had to go through to get to this country, it's not fair that we had to go through all this stuff to be able to be allowed into the country, and yet these other people have nothing. They don't have to answer to anything.
They just walk in, and the government gives
them. And the reality is, they're right. They came here for freedom and our way of life to work with us to bring Canada forward.
Say, Barry.
And the reality is that the people that are coming in now, they're coming in to change our country to be the way that their country that they left is. And that's not right.
In any society, when you bring in hundreds of thousands of people that are never going to assimilate to your culture, that will never respect your culture, are told that they don't have to learn your language, so that they can do whatever they want. They can form their own little cultures inside of Canada, and that's what's happening. That's been happening for years and years and years. And I'm not against immigration at all, but, you know, when my parents were growing up, back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, when you came to Canada, you had to come here with the attitude that there wasn't a golden ticket sitting there waiting for you the day you walked into the country, that you had to assimilate to the culture, that you had to contribute to the society, you had to get a job, nothing was given to you. But that's been completely turned around. We have illegals walking into the country right now, Dave, that are being treated better than Canadian citizens and our veterans. And if that doesn't piss people off, I don't know what to say. But that's going on right now in our country. Why? Because you want to uproot the culture. Justin Trudeau.
But look at what else is happening, Barry.
He's also creating himself a huge voting base, Dave. Because as soon as these people get, he's giving them citizenship now. So what are you doing?
He's placing them in strategic places so that he can win. Exactly. He only needs to win the strategic places.
The population centers where your vote base is, of course.
And Toronto, for example.
Toronto, Montreal.
Now, with the pandemic stuff, going back to that, and again, this fits into it because we have people in Canada because they're shutting down the pipelines for because they want green energy, which is more harmful than the oil and gas industry is. The natural resources over the years have improved so much in their technology that it's so much better than any of the green energy they're pulling in now. Now, we've got people out west that are losing their homes. They're on the streets because of this, because they've shut it down. And now with the pandemic, where do they go? Where are they going to go? We need to take care of our people. We need to take care of Canadians first.
Well, none of that's going on in our country right now, Dave. So we need to turn that around.
Not.
If there's any hope of saving this country, then we have to turn that around right now. But unfortunately, like you said, that a majority of these immigrants coming into the country are heading to the main population areas, the Golden Horseshoe, Toronto, Hamilton, where the voter base is, where all your elections are decided in Canada. The West doesn't have a voice in what's going on in this country. It's all decided in Toronto and Montreal. And we got to change that. Period.
Well, we can't even get jobs anymore because it's preferential jobs.
Well, the situation in Ontario is just going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, I grew up in Toronto, Dave, and I talk to people now. I mean, I can't even visualize living in that city now. It's turned into a cesspool that you have a murder going on in Toronto. Every day there's a murder now or more, and it's increasing. And, of course, the government's got to take our guns away because we're the bad guys.
And that's the thing. By Trudeau's gun grab, I mean, I tell people, and I'm open about it, I tell people, listen, if you have guns, hide them. Not for to do any bad with them or anything, but you hide them because you're going to need them. If nothing else, you're going to need them to eat because the food shortage is coming. People are going to be starving. And if you have to hunt to feed your family, you have to have a way to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple.
I think you're going to see millions of Canadians that will tell Trudeau to take a hike. I mean, what he's doing right now with this gun grab is so similar to what's happened to other tyrannical dictators that have taken over societies. I mean, look at history. And if people only studied history, they'd understand that gun grabs are not about keeping citizens safe in any shape or form. It's about disarming the citizens so when your government goes tyrannical, you have no way of defending yourself or fighting back. And that's exactly what Trudeau's doing. It's another page out of the Communist Manifesto, Dave. It happens in any situation where a government wants to go tyrannical, they always disarm the public first.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, what was this country built on? Okay, the French came here first. My family was here in the early 1600s. We interbred with the native population, and we had it pretty good. Then the British come in, and then problems started after a while. We ended up with all these issues. But all through this time, we had guns to feed our families or to defend our families.
Always.
And now, all of a sudden, it's, well, you can't have this. Why not? I want to know why. I want them to give me a logical reason why I can't.
Well, the government doesn't have any logical reasons for doing this. None of the numbers.
And that's why I say, when they can give me a logical reason why I can't, I will comply. Mm-hmm. But there's no logical reason. There is no reason for that. And I will not become one of the communist countries where the government has guns, but you don't, so they just come in and wipe you out, because that's not happening.
Well,
I will defend my freedom, I will defend my liberty, and I will defend the right to have a gun.
Yeah, well, it's been in our culture since Canada was since Canada became a country, Dave.
Well, even prior to that, I mean, all the people that have come from all the different countries had gun rights or not gun rights, depending if they came from communist countries, but the ones that came from communist countries, I'm sure that a lot of them do have guns now.
Well, I can remember because when they were storing by 22 ammunition, you know, in Canada. The guns were openly carried, and that was just when I was a kid, and how much it's changed since then.
I used to hunt when I was a kid.
Huh?
I used to hunt with my father when I was a kid.
Well, I got my first gun when I was 12 years old. At Christmas, they gave me a single-shot Cooey. My dad had no worries about giving me a gun when I was 12 years old because I was already responsible enough to use it. And I was taught how to use guns when I was growing up by my uncles and my dad. I was around guns all my life. Respect.
And that's the key. Respect.
Huh?
That's the key. You were taught to respect it. You didn't point it at other people. You handled it properly. And that's the way it was. But nowadays, it seems like people are just pointing at people and doing stuff, whatever they want to do, because they figure that whatever this other person has, they should have it. Well, that's nice. Do like the rest of us. Get jobs, moron.
Yeah. Well, of course, society's become desensitized to murder and all that kind of crap now through everything they've done programming our kids for the last 20 years, programming us when we were kids, the increase in violence. What do you think about that, Steve?
What's that? I thought you were going to ask me a question a few minutes ago, but...
Well, I was going to ask you one. I want to get you in on the conversation here, but I forget, of course, what I was going to ask you, because that was minutes ago.
Yeah, it was about 10 minutes ago. What's your question here now?
I can't even remember where we were in that conversation at that point, Steve, so trying to...
Well, I thought you were talking about...
What's your opinion on the gun stuff?
What's my opinion on the guns?
Yeah, yeah. States, you know, Biden's going to have the big push to take the guns away. You know, we've seen that already.
Sure, sure. There's been a lot of speculation over in the last year from all of the campaigning from probably close to a year ago and up until now, until 2 months ago or whatever. But the Democrats have always said, and you know, the word rhetoric comes to mind, and rhetoric is just a benign word, but you know, it means to manipulate or to deceive for the most part. They would never be able to get the guns here in America because there's an estimated 85 million gun owners that own an estimated 400 million guns. They just cannot get the guns, but they can do what they have been doing for the last almost year now, is limit us access to the ammunition. So, you know, the gun issue is really a moot point. Are there going to be dumb people that will turn in their guns if Biden says, well, I'm going to make an executive order and pass a law that you have to turn in your guns? Well, sure, there's going to be some stupid people doing that, and for the most part, the rest of us, 84 million people, are going to tell them to go pound sand.
Mm-hmm. Well, that be
and that's exactly how it is here. That's exactly what it is here. All the people that I know up where I'm at hunt are saying they're not getting my guns. It's that simple. Because the reality is, we haven't done anything with guns that would even remotely justify them taking them away.
Well, that's where the manipulation comes in, because the the political left says that guns are evil, and you need to turn your guns in. But you know, the deception is, and manipulation is, that there's never been a gun that has ever been manufactured that has ever killed anyone.
That is correct.
There's
stupid people with guns that have.
There's never been a knife. There's never been a knife that's ever stabbed anyone. There's never been a ball bat that has ever hit anyone over the head and killed anyone. You know, there's, we can go on and on and on. There's never, well, I can't say about cars, because they are making cars that are remote,
yeah.
What's that? RC controlled or a computer controlled?
Yeah, but, to drive themselves, yeah.
Yeah. But,
computer controlled.
That's, yeah, who knows what they're going to do with those things.
Right, right.
Overhit the switch. But why don't they tell the truth about guns in Canada? Why don't they tell the fact that I've been looking at the numbers, and Bill Blair, man, this guy's so full of crap, it's unbelievable. But it's only 3% max. Listen, in Canada, max. The biggest numbers I could find. And I looked into this one day, that only 3% of gun crimes in Canada are being perpetrated by people that legally own guns in Canada. 97% of the crimes are being done by guns that are coming across our border like water. There's thousands of guns coming into Canada.
Well, that's
the United States of America.
And they'll never, you know,
that's,
stop it.
That's the other issue. That's the other issue, too, because most everybody knows, or I do anyway, so I try to say it as often as I can. The individual police departments and special people in the Masonic Lodge in every single area in America runs the gangs. They run the drugs and they run the guns. there's never been a bad guy in the however many years the FBI has been doing this. I really don't know. I mean, at least until 1922 when J. Edgar Hoover started the FBI. I don't know whether they did it back then, but there's never been a bad guy that has ever gone through a legal means to get a gun. They've always gotten guns illegally, and they will always get guns illegally.
Of course.
It's not about the guns. It's about...
Guns is a $500 billion or somewhere thereabouts business in Mexico every year.
Oh, yeah.
And if they took, you know, say $1 billion worth of guns off the streets, there's still the other 400 or and some billion guns that are on the streets, like worth of guns on the streets.
Well,
like, you'll never stop that. Why?
Government.
And even here in Canada, why would they be stupid enough if they want to take guns away? Why would they say, well, you're exempt, but everybody else, well, you can't be.
You know, if government.
Treat us all equally. Let's do it.
Government agencies.
Treat us all equally.
Government agencies and non-government NGOs, they've been running the drugs and the guns down to South America for decades. They've been caught countless times running the drugs and the guns. Mega corporations here in America, the what do they call that? The industrial.
CIA does it.
Yes. Well, the military-industrial complex does too. I mean, there's been so many defense contractors that have been caught running drugs, running guns, running children, running women, white slavery, I think it's called, sex slavery. They've been caught countless times doing it all, and they just say, oh, you're a bad boy. Give us a few $100,000. Give us a few $100,000, and you can go back to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just brush it under the rug. It's nothing to see.
They've been caught countless times laundering money for the drug companies and the drug cartels. I don't really know what to explain to people, but you know, there's this simple form of manipulation out there that any government official will come out in front of a camera and say, oh, we caught this little group of CIA or DEA or ATF individuals, and they were doing this bad thing with drugs and guns, but our departments are clean. We have investigated ourselves, and we have cleared ourselves of any wrongdoing.
Because we can.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can
They're
do.
They're above the law.
Well, why is Hillary Clinton walking free on the streets today? Why are any of them walking free? Why are the people that perpetrated 9/11, why are they still walking free on the state on the streets? Why is Justin Trudeau not in jail in Canada for the WE scandal and for every other scandal that he's been involved in? SNC-Lavalin.
George Bush.
I mean, just on and on and on, the criminality, but
George Bush
it all
said,
goes away.
George Bush said one time, Barry and Dave, he said, it ain't illegal if the president does it.
Yeah.
Well, of course, they've got a set of laws for them. Even our politicians, they've showed their faces.
Unless you're Trump.
So sick of this COVID stuff. Yeah. I am so sick of walking around in society and watching all these sheeple just put their masks on and people rolling up their arms for this vaccine. It's hard to take, guys. It really is.
Longer it goes on, more people are saying no. More people are saying that's enough.
They're
starting to see through the crap that's going on. And it's going to come to a head. The people are just going to say, that's it. We're done. I can't see it being any other way.
You see demonstrations in Europe, Dave. I see them all the time. In Vienna, there was a huge one. In London, there's huge demonstrations. They get 2 million people out to some of their demonstrations. In Canada, we're lucky if we get 1,000 people out. And yet, why is that?
The problem, Barry, is that because of the censorship, we're not allowed to see that stuff anymore. I can't get stuff from Europe. I can't get any information out of Europe. I can't get any information out of most of the countries in the world anymore. And I used to. I used to be able to get it. And I just can't. It's censored.
I don't know. RT puts out some pretty good stuff, Dave. I know RT is RT, but they bring a lot of that stuff.
And being able to share it, Barry. you can't even share it.
Well, we know the censorship.
You get warnings for sharing these things, or you get banned from Facebook, which is fine with me either way. I don't care.
Well, everybody's going away from Facebook right now, and I see a big push for that, Dave, and I'm trying to get myself away from it, too. We're still using it because it's such a wide platform, and we're so used to using it, but there's a lot of people getting away from it, and I'm trying to do that myself right now.
Got back into my Parler account that was down for months, and I just got back into it because now it's back up and running. But what they're doing is the people that were in that had a page before, they're the ones they're bringing back first, and then they're going to expand it. But that so Steve, Telegram is a good one.
I want to ask Steve a question.
Wimkin,
when you're finished, when you're done. Okay, Steve, have we heard the end of the U.S. election, or do you still think there's something might be going on in the background that we don't
know? You know.
I wanted to put that question to you because you know what? I'm hearing it
every day. I'm
some pretty reliable things, and I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that. A lot of rumors, but your thoughts?
Can you give me about 2 weeks after March 4th? That seems to be the date.
I think something's going on in the background. I really do. I mean, I'm seeing things that are making some sense. I mean, this thing with the judicial system over there where this stuff's going through with Linwood and whatever, it's going to be interesting to see what happens at the Supreme Court. It really is. We'll find out whether the Supreme Court is bought and paid for or not.
What do you think, Steve, outside of that? Do you think there's still something going on, or do you think it's just rumor?
Oh, I know there's something going on. I just cannot put my finger on what it actually is. You know, you've got a lot of these Q people and a lot of these Trump people and a lot of people in general they are trying to, I haven't put my finger on it whether they're trying to get us to stand down. I believe that this whole last 5 years has been nothing but a psyop. I told you that, Barry, I in no way believe whatsoever in the last 5 years that the Republican Party is innocent of anything. But for the most part, the last 5 years, they are trying to give the indication, the illusion that Trump is in control and Trump is going after the swamp, going to drain the swamp, and he's gonna lock up Hillary and Bill, and he's going to do this and do that and, you know, do it all. But I still say there's some sort of a psyop going. Why would he apparently sign the Insurrection Act on January 9th, which puts the military in control? Okay, let's say he did that. Let's say it's true. It's been reported on by many, many sources. Why perpetrate this illusion that Biden is in control? Why still do that?
General Flynn came out and said that he didn't sign the Insurrection Act, but whether he's telling the truth or not, he actually did that.
So yeah.
Would they tell us?
I mean, if you look at it, they're not really going to tell us what's going on.
They're not going
to. If they told us the detail, they'd be able to counter it.
Right, of course.
Now, I mean, maybe bits and pieces come out and people make up, you know, they go off on their own thinking, okay, you know, it's this way or that way. The thing that boggles my mind is what is the purpose of having the White House basically fenced off with razor wire and armed guards? Is it to keep Joe Biden from wandering off or what? Like, really, there's got to be some reason for that other than to keep him from wandering off.
Yeah, well, you know, I there's been a lot of speculation out there that that has happened. With all of these videos, all of these photos. I've been a firm believer for the last 12 years that we're just watching a movie and we're part of this movie. The revolution is never going to be televised. I know a lot of people have that phrase out there. But The truth is not going to be televised either. The absolute 100% truth. You're going to get a lot of truth, but you're going to get 90% disinformation and 90% manipulations in that truth.
I agree. And the problem is that it doesn't matter who you ask. Everybody's going to have a different take on what's going on. And the reality, like for me, I really believe something is going on in the background, something big. But I'm not,
well,
I can't put my finger on what it is exactly.
Yeah, that something big
something
is going to be
I
a.
I believe is going on.
Yeah, that something big is going to be a society war and a holy war. I mean, they have to have wars. They have to have a boogeyman for us to hate. Who better to hate than
they're doing in Minnesota too?
Huh?
They're now all of a sudden this defund the police thing has become this thing where
we're
going
to
refund the police, and we're going to put like billions of dollars or millions of dollars into it to refund the police so we can stop the riots and all this crap that's going on by BLM and Antifa. Now Portland needs to do the same thing.
They're not going to stop riots. They're not going to defund police. That's what happened up there in Seattle and Minneapolis, in my opinion. They let those police departments go because there was some sort of damning evidence against somebody big in a pedophile ring or some other high crime that they had to get rid of that. Well, you know, the police or the RCMPs up there in Canada, they just can't legally destroy information. But they can start a riot and bring in those two groups, BLM and Antifa. And they can create a riot and make everybody believe that the police stations were taken over. And bam, there goes your evidence. There goes evidence against somebody big. Right there, it's gone.
People are being killed all the time, like every day pretty much in these places. And the people have had enough of it. They want their businesses to be safe and secure. And the only way to do that is to have policing. But you have to have also the laws that are going to keep these clowns that are doing this stuff away from the public.
Well, Do you know why the policing industry was started, though, Dave?
Yeah, it's from the Old West, from the sheriffs and whatever, to bring some kind of semblance of peace.
Well, they've always had the sheriffs, even in hundreds and hundreds of years ago in England and the rest of society. But the sheriffs come over here to America, too, but the policing industry, the police themselves, they were started for crowd control. You can look it up on Wikipedia. There was a time in history, going back to the 17th and 18th centuries, that if a politician did something that was against his word or did whatever, he went against his word, the people would march down to his office and drag him out and tar and feather him, or just beat him to death. And they had to stop that.
The sheriffs.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, the sheriffs didn't do that because the sheriffs also led the charge along with the clergy.
Hmm.
But the policing industry is separate, and that's why it was invented. Look it up on Wikipedia. It says for crowd control, it was invented in the 17th century over in England.
So do the sheriffs have the ultimate control in individual states over with the polices, the police forces? Is that true? I think that's my understanding.
In each county.
Correct?
Yes, in each county.
Okay. So they have powers over, they actually have powers that supersede the police?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's been countless people over the last, 50, 60 years that have called the sheriffs and said, come over here and get this guy off of my rear end. And it's a local cop. It was,
well, it's a different system up here. We don't have sheriffs.
Yeah.
Well, we do, but not in the same capacity, the same kind of role that you do. Yeah. Our sheriffs here are just taking people to jail. That's all they
yeah.
do. Drive the prisoners around, man.
Yeah. Well, you better watch your time, though, Barry.
They do evictions, too, the sheriffs.
You better watch your time, Barry.
Well, yeah, we're down to 5 minutes here, guys. Actually, we should let you guys go here, and I'll take a five-minute break, and I'll bring Doug Forrest in for a chat in the second hour here. I appreciate you guys coming in and having a conversation. I was sitting back listening to you guys for the last 10 minutes here. Trying to get a word in, but it's all good.
Oh, I'm hoping we got through to people and make them understand what is really going on. I mean, it's confusing, but people need to stand up for their own rights. I mean, the reality is that that's where it's at. Either be a sheep or be a human being that can critically think. And make decisions that are based on the best interest of you and your family. Not on what everybody's telling you to believe. That's my thoughts.
Okay, Dave. Always, that was good to have you in, buddy. And thanks, Steve, for covering. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to take a break here. My bladder is itching. And I'll be back in 5 minutes here. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Barry and Steve. Take care.
Yeah.
Good to be there.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions. You want your freedom.
Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again, Dave and Steve, filling in the first hour there for my guests that couldn't come in. I'm joined second hour here by Doug Force, and if anybody's listening to my shows has heard Doug talk many times. I really enjoy my conversations with the man. So thanks for having time to join me again today, Doug. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, we've been – I'm still out west. I'm still in Alberta and up in Edmonton yesterday. There was this great, wonderful rally that went on at the legislature. And right. They actually had about 2,500 people show up at this rally. And they had, oh, man, dozens of speakers. People came in from all over Alberta. It wasn't just Edmontonians. There were people coming up from Calgary, Lethbridge, Red Deer, and all the smaller communities. They had a convoy come up of over 100 vehicles.
Yep.
And we had our special guests were Antifa, and Antifa showed up with quite a large number, considering 125 people is a large number for them these days, and they wanted to start a fight with 2,500 people, and I'm thinking, well, they actually had second thoughts about that. There was an article written about this, and they had second thoughts about it because they thought, well. And they don't forget that their Common Core math didn't really kick in all of a sudden. It took them quite a while to figure out that 2,500 people against 125 people would probably leave them all in a hospital bed at some point if they decided they wanted to start something. But they didn't, and they were actually quite quiet comparatively. I mean, they tried to make noise, but they were kept away by the police, far away, and they tried to make noise while the speakers were speaking, but nobody could actually hear them. And nobody was actually paying any attention to them because they were behind us down in a hollow in the ledge, which is kind of cute.
Cool.
And people like Kevin J. Johnson were there. Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson flew in from Vancouver to speak. We had Pastor Arthur there, Brad Kerrigan and Tammy Haney and Pat King. All of these well-known people from across this wonderful nation that we don't have were there. For this rally, and it turned out quite nice, and I think it really brought attention to what's been going on with the Jason Kenney government here, and what's been going on with the lockdowns and so forth. And they actually had the mainstream media there. CTV was there, City TV News was there, and a couple of others. CBC was there briefly. And it was very interesting. And you'd think that they would have a large police presence, but they didn't. The large police presence was surrounding Antifa. The police presence that was there for the rally was what I would call police light. They were at the entrances, just making sure that the people weren't getting, you know, Antifas weren't trying to hurt anybody at the entrances to the ledge and so forth. So it was very well done.
2,500 is a pretty good turnout, Doug.
What's very interesting, though, is this. They had a bunch of pastors from across Alberta show up to speak. And City TV News, or was it CTV? I don't remember which one. They did a smear campaign. They said, well, there was a rally with about 2,500 people at the ledge yesterday, and not a single pastor showed up, except it was put on by Pastor Arthur. And about a dozen pastors from across Alberta showed up, including the pastor from Elmer, Ontario, came in. And the pastor from Steinbeck, Manitoba, was there to speak. So, yeah, okay, mainstream media said no pastor showed up. But the big reason for this was there's a pastor who is locked up in remand because he wouldn't agree to the bail conditions that they would let him out, that he would no longer preach from the pulpit. And so he's locked up in remand here in Edmonton. And so we were at their remand center earlier in the day yesterday.
Right.
And there were probably 1,200 people there.
Right.
And a whole bunch of pastors spoke there, including the pastor from Elmer, Ontario. He spoke there as well.
Right.
And what was very interesting is that all of the people that were going to go back today to their home, they went out to the remand center this morning, and they're out there this afternoon as well.
There's a huge crowd out there right now.
Yeah, something like 3,000 people.
That's what I heard. And Laura Lynn did a live just a little while ago from there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and she's out there. She didn't fly back to Vancouver. She wanted to be there for the next day. And so there's, I had other commitments, including you. So I wound up staying behind. but that's okay.
Oh, sorry, Dave. I'm sorry, Doug.
Don't mind at all, because I love doing your show, Barry. And I mean, I would have done it anyway. But that's, yeah. And so it's been a rather exciting weekend. Now, the gentleman, the friend that I stay with here, John, his house is kind of a hub for everybody coming in. Like all the people from Calgary were here last night. We had about probably close to 20 odd people in the house from the rally. And the organizers were here last night. A lot of the speakers came by last night. And so, yeah, we were having a great time until about 1 o'clock this morning.
Cool. Hey, Doug, you know how close I was to coming there? I was on a show with Kevin Johnson on Friday night.
Yeah.
Pat King was in the room, Derek was in the room, and myself. And during the course of the conversation, they wanted to, all of a sudden, said, get Barry to Edmonton. And all of a sudden, there was four people in the room that had committed already $800 for airfare. And while we're on the air, Pat King's on his phone trying to book me a flight on WestJet to get me from Terrace on Friday night to Edmonton on Saturday. And we almost made it work, buddy. And I would have been there. I would have been there because I want to meet Kevin. I want to meet all these guys. I believe the offer is standing for this weekend. I think I'm going to be flying down to Calgary on Saturday for the day.
I'm going to try and make it down because Brad and Tammy, I've been working with since I've been out here and trying to, you know, give as much support as I can to what they're doing because it makes perfect sense to do that while we're out here. And I'd love to have you back. I'd love to see you again in person down there because if you show up there, I'm coming. I will.
Well, Kevin Johnson's offered me a place to stay. Picked me up at the airport. He says that the offer for the airfare is standing, apparently. I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow. I told him that I have to be back here for Sunday for my show, but I could fly down Friday, stay at Kevin's Friday night, hang around Saturday and fly out Saturday night or even first thing Sunday morning, time to get back to Terrace because I could do my show next week. But if I can make it work, I'm coming down Sunday or Saturday.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, no, hey, I'm doing it. They're paying my airfare. I can't say no.
Well, I'll drive down. We're only a 3-hour drive from Edmonton, and I'll be there with you, and Kevin, you know, and Pat, and they're,
oh, yeah, they're, no, no, they all want to meet me. I'm going, wow, this would be a blast, man. I can't wait.
You will definitely enjoy yourself.
And they're even going to let me speak. Can you imagine?
Oh no, they wouldn't dare. Are you kidding?
I'd have nothing to say, Doug. Nothing.
Yeah. At 3 hours later, 3 hours, 3 hours later, with nothing to say. Sure, Barry.
Doug, I've never stood in front of a public audience in my life and spoke. Ever have I got up in front of a crowd of people and spoke. I was supposed to speak in Vancouver, but I kind of got a little bit screwed around down there by situation. But all that being said, I was ready to stand up there, and I know. At this point in my life, I'm ready to stand up in front of people because there's never been a deeper urge in my life right now to connect with Canadians and let them know how much trouble we really are in this country and how fast we could lose it all right now, brother.
Well, and the beautiful part is of this, what's going on right now, is more and more and more people are getting off the couch and coming out the door and being supportive within this. It is absolutely an awakening, Barry. It's an awakening, and I just find this. I am so pleased. I am just so happy to see that people are taking a stand, that it's enough is enough. The straw that broke the camel's back is finally moving forward.
Well, just the fact that they got this pastor in jail right now in Canada. You know, the guy's been in jail for how many days, Doug? In Canada, folks. In Canada, for practicing his rights. Go ahead.
For preaching in the church. Yet, and yet... The synagogues are open, and the mosques are open, but the Christian churches are all shut down. So what's going on?
I heard that yesterday, Doug. Is that absolutely – because I'm trying to find out if that's absolutely correct.
That is correct.
It is. Well, if that doesn't enrage Canadians, Doug, I don't know how much more of a slap it takes to make people realize that this has nothing to do about a virus in any shape or form, a virus that they have yet to isolate, Doug. I was listening I listen to a lot of these doctors talk online. I'm going to let you talk because you're very informed on this, but everything and every report that I see tells me that they have yet to isolate this virus. Am I correct?
You are. I did a show a few weeks ago with Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Right. Right.
One of the top virologists in the world. And she said that SARS-CoV-2 has been isolated. And because I asked her the question, I know I get these white papers. I'm a member of academia.org, and they're a publishing place where they put on the internet all the white papers from across the globe, from not just medical but all kinds of different things from academia. And so in their search engine, I asked, okay, I said, how I want to do SARS-CoV-2. So the search engine brings them back as far as 2003. Okay. And for SARS-CoV-2, which is COVID-19, so 2003. I'm going, oh, isn't that interesting? So I'm going through the white papers there, and there's actually isolation of SARS-CoV-2 in a white paper. And so I asked Judy, and I said, Judy says, yes, Doug, they've isolated that virus. Back in the early 2000s, it was isolated in mice. And then in the later 2000s, in 2009, 2010, it was isolated in guinea pigs. And then she said, just recently, it's been isolated in monkeys. And I said, so what about human beings? She says, absolutely not. I said, so why are we locked down? She says, it's a magic virus.
How in the world did you get a hold of her, Doug?
I called her on the telephone. Would you like her number?
Well, certainly. Or at least her email, one or the other.
I'd also like that, too. I would love to get her on here one day so people can hear this.
I'll put it in the chat later.
Sure, and she wouldn't have a problem with that.
No, she's actually going to be next Saturday. She's coming in on a live stream. I helped Brad. I gave Brad the number. He called her. She jumped at the opportunity to do a live stream for the rally, and you're going to be there.
I know. I'm not going to be able to sleep this week, Doug. I'm already counting the sleeps. I'm going to be talking to Kevin again later on today, and I'm going to probably make this work, guys. The worst case scenario is that I'd get down there and I wouldn't want to rush back because I'd want to spend some time. But I've got a couple people lined up for next week, and my shows are kind of important. But I'm pretty sure I can fly out of there on Saturday night and get home.
Well, so you know,
if we can make it work, I'm going to make it work.
Well, all you do is bring your laptop and you do your show live from Calgary.
Hey there, that's a good idea, Doug. I can do that, can I?
Yeah.
We have that technology, don't we? Why didn't I think of that, man?
What would make a great show is that you bring the people that were at the rally on Saturday onto your Sunday show.
Okay. I believe right now I've got 2 hours committed, but I could always... I've got my brain going. That sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, Doug. It would. And then I could stay down maybe an extra day and hang out because I'm going to be at Kevin's house. I want to spend some time with the man. Yeah. I know Derek's going to be there. Wayne's going to be there. All these people that I want to spend time with are going to be there. Yeah. Running in and running out, if I can stay a day and do a show out of somebody's residence on Sunday with some internet connection, that would be cool. I could set up my guests. Hey, you should be doing stuff like this, organizing, Doug. That's a good idea.
Okay. Here's the thing. When you did that show with Derek and KJ and all that stuff, I was supposed to be on that show. But I was at a speaking event. I got invited to go speak to a group audience, and I wound up going extra, an hour extra. I was supposed to be back home in time to do that show, and that's why I wasn't on there with you. Right. Tomorrow night I have another speaking event that I have to go to. I've got other events set up in Saskatchewan, because I'm going to be heading back in about a week and a half back to Ontario, but I've got to go through Saskatchewan. I've got a bunch of speaking events I'm going to be doing there and in Manitoba. And then I'm going back to Ontario, and I'm hoping to be back in Ontario the last week of March, first week of April, because I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to do there. And then I'm going to hopefully get back on the road after about a month in Ontario and come back out this way. It's craziness. We've been, well, you know what I discovered, right? The land patent thing and how we're, people are going now taking a allodial title. Well, that took off like a skyrocket to the moon, my friend.
Let me think about that for a minute, Doug.
Yeah.
Tell people about that, would you?
Well, it's like, I was doing a little bit of a speaking tour. I came across Canada. I wanted to get out of Ontario. I wanted to come and meet the people. And so I started doing that at the end of October. I started a little late in the year. But I wound up in Saskatchewan, and a lady sent me a link to a website. And that website took me to a government website that talked about two acts that were done in the 1800s, the 1872 acts of the Dominion Lands Act and the Homestead Act. And in the three western provinces, Ontario, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan, it turns out that they had issued 625,000 land patents across the three provinces. And I was like, get the heck out of here. Isn't that amazing? So about half of Manitoba, two-thirds of Saskatchewan, and two-thirds of Alberta are under land patents. And so I thought, what? Wait a minute, now I've got to do more. So I did this more research, and I got into it, and then I started looking at British Columbia. There's been a bunch of land patents issued in BC as well. We knew about Ontario, because I've been helping people out in Ontario for about 10 years out there, taking a allodial title there. And so I thought, wow, I'm going to make a booklet and help people comprehensively understand how to go through this process. So it took me a couple of months to condense about 300 pages worth of research into 25 pages. And then we announced it, Wayne and myself. We did a roundtable with Vlad and Kellyanne on January 1st, 2021, New Year's Day.
Right.
And so I announced that the book would be available, or the booklet would be available for people as a gift for people, because we were starting to do donations for the Myth is Canada. So people who donated $50 or more would have this gift gifted to them. And my friend, I tell you, it's been absolutely amazing. The amount of people that have come out of the woodwork, and I've been working literally night and day with people, helping them get to that point where they do the chain of title, they research where the land patent is, the plats maps and so forth. And now we've got groups in Alberta here that are now helping those people that were just set up in the last 3-4 weeks. I'm working with groups in Manitoba and in Saskatchewan, the same thing. And there's now the impetus of starting a group out in British Columbia. We've got a couple of groups in Ontario. And this is the last month and a half. This is how crazy it's been.
Well, and I'd like to get involved in British Columbia, Doug, because I've been looking at this. I've heard you talk about it a couple times. What does it mean to the common person? What exactly does this mean to the common person?
Well, and so that's what I was just going to get into. Because I've thrown a couple of words out there that people are going, what the heck is allodial? And what's a land patent? And blah, blah, blah. And so there's a couple of ways that you can get land here in Canada, okay? Through land granting, which is what they call fee simple. And that's basically what most land is today that you purchased, is you bought it in what they call fee simple. But they issued all these land patents between 1872 and 1930 here in Canada. And what a land patent is this? It's a crown grant made patent, okay? I know that's kind of, what the heck does that mean? Well, what it means, and one of the most common expressions for this is called heaven and hell ownership. So you own it from the soles of your feet to the center of the earth, from the top of your head to the outer reaches of the atmosphere. It is the most pure form of land ownership on planet Earth. Okay, the allodial title gives you the ability to be the sovereign with land under your feet. In other words, the provincial government or the municipal government has to ask permission to you to come on your land. They can no longer charge you property taxes. They can no longer come onto your land to inspect your house or your business. They can no longer put a meter on your well, and because the water is under your land is yours through allodium. So they have to come and give them their meter back. They can't charge you for something that you already own. That's what kind of ownership this is. This is amazing. Sure is. Let's say you're running a small business on your property, and it's a farming. You know, it might be 10 acres, and you do a small bit of farming, but you run a small business, and that small business might be that you're a knife sharpener for the community, or you're a blacksmith, for example, for the community because there's horses and so forth. Well, the count or the municipality and the province has no more say as to when you can open your business or close your business. You don't need to be licensed to run your business, and you don't need to have permission to do what you're doing. How cool is that?
That is very, very cool, Doug. And I'm going to be quite honest. I have to get looking into this a lot more, because what you're talking about right now is a mechanism that could just turn this government right upside down. If people actually applied this to their own property right now, the tax base for the government would disappear in a couple of years, wouldn't it?
Well, a lot faster than that. That's why we call it defund the government.
Well, I'm being optimistic right now. But Doug, I mean, I'm going to have to get involved in this. You know, you're going to have to get me involved here in British Columbia, and I'm going to have to get fully educated on this. I'd like to see the book, and I want to look into this a lot.
I will send you a copy.
Please do that. I
believe I have your email.
Yes, you do. And anybody in the audience that wants a copy, maybe we could, how can they get a copy of this? Doug, can you share where they can get a copy?
Well, they would have to do a donation to the Mythist Candidate of $50 or more. And you can email me at themythiscanada@yahoo.com, and I'll send you the way to go about doing that. And it's super simple. And once that happens, I send out. And please also include in your email to me what province you live in, because we now have new addendums that go with the booklet. So I have an addendum for Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta, which is another 9 pages onto the booklet. And we have 2 addendums that go to the people in British Columbia. And all these things do is help you get – it's easier to find what you're looking for when you go into these websites and so forth. So we wanted to make this as simple and comprehensive as possible for everybody. And so that's why I put on these new addendums, so that people will all, you know, well, it's all about making it easier. Also, if you're having trouble, then you can let me know after you've read the booklet and gone through the addendums. You let me know, and I can hook you up with the groups that are slowly coming together to help people do this as well.
Wow. I know there's a lot of people that like to get their hands on this information. You know, I mean, people aren't aware of this, Doug, obviously. So I'm sure when people really start to hear about this a little bit more, the floodgates will open.
Well, and I've had a few people come at me and go, well, you know, Doug, I talked to an attorney, and the attorney said, oh, that's a bunch of horse poop, and they're just historical documents and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, really? So the 4 words that you read to the attorney, what 4 words, Doug? What are you talking about? Well, they're on the land path. I said the 4 words, with the most important word being, well, the 4 words are heirs and assigns, and then the most important word, forever. Ask the attorney how he defines forever.
Yeah, what's the time limit on that?
Yeah, exactly. And I actually said that to her when I was back in Ontario a few years ago. I had a conversation with attorney. He says, that's a bunch of horse poop, you know, that doesn't work, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, really? So how do you define the word forever? And he was absolutely dead silent. And then he told me to get out of his office.
Oh, it's like trying to describe the word eternity or in eternity. I mean, the universe is eternal. There's no start. There's no end. How do you describe that? How do we comprehend something like that?
Exactly.
You know, infinity and beyond.
Well, I like
that. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. I'm really, you got my interest, Doug. I'm going to have to make a donation.
Well, no. What I'll do, Barry, is I'll send you a copy of the booklet, because what I've done with this for people like yourself, the personalities, on-air personalities and stuff like that, I've gifted that to you because I know your listeners will come along and want to have this. So it's wonderful for you to have me on the air to let your listeners know how to get this. And so I'll just gift that to you. And by the way, your producer who lives down in the States, all land in the U.S. is under land power. And if I was Steve, I would be looking at team law down there. And I think I mentioned this to Steve before, and how to take a lodial title to your property or to your land in the United States. Because you could change the world. We can change the world here in Canada by doing that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Definitely got my interest. I'm sure people that are listening right now, I'm sure we sparked some interest in them, Doug. So I promise I will look into this a lot more. You've got, like I said, you've got my attention.
It is definitely surprised me, because a lot of people that normally, you see in the, wouldn't normally come out for a rally or come out for, this kind of stuff. They're business people, they're farmers, they're families, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, oh my God, they're at the end of the ropes, really, Barry. They really are with the government. And this is a legal and lawful way to do it. There's nothing untowards about doing this. You're not having to go, tip at windmills, so to speak, or go to the rallies and be an anti-masker, or be an anti-vaxxer, or be an anti-lockdowner. This you can do from the privacy of your home, and literally change your world and the world around you.
Hmm. Well, it's exciting to hear something like this. People are looking for answers right now, Doug. We all are absolutely at the wit's end at what we see going on in this country and what this government is doing to us right now. And we're all looking for ways to get back at this government. Boy, I'll tell you, what you're talking about, if a majority of the population implemented this into their lives, you would see catastrophic changes inside the coffers of our government, wouldn't you?
Oh, baby ducks, you sure would.
Boy, oh boy. So thinking about it, you got my brain going in a million different directions. Why'd you do that? I was going to talk about something else now. You got me going off somewhere else. And you know how easy I am to get off in different directions when this little brain starts thinking about stuff that you talk about. And I'm going, wow, I was going to talk about something else, but this is pretty interesting, Doug, to be quite honest. But that always seems to happen when we get involved in conversations. That's why I like having guys on like you, man, because you got all kinds of cool stuff to tell people and me. You know, I'm quite honest. I'm just an old bald-headed fart out here in northern BC trying to make some sense out of the world, trying to put a little common sense to what I see going on. And I can't find any anywhere, especially when it comes to this mask agenda that was going on in our society right now, Doug. It's absolutely driving me insane. I was saying in the first hour there, Doug, the other day I was driving down Main Street or Terrace here, and there was a family. I think there was five in the family or six, but this lady had masks on all her little kids, and I had to stop, Doug. And I just kind of took a deep breath, buddy. I honestly did, because I wanted to explode on him. I just wanted to walk up and say, you know what, you're just absolutely destroying your children and blah, 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 blah. But I took a different approach to it. It took a little bit of self-control not to explode on her, because I wanted to get across to her exactly what she was doing to her children. So I talked to her in a very, very calm voice. I just put a couple facts forward to her, and I asked her to look up things on the internet when she goes home, and she told me she would.
Cool.
Because what this going on with our kids, Doug, this of all the things that are going on in our society right now, we know our society is being torn apart in all different directions right now. Everything is under attack. We know that people are losing their minds. We know that families are falling apart. But what we're doing to our children, Doug, that's what drives me nuts. What we're doing to our children in schools right now, when you look at the numbers for this so-called invisible COVID killer pandemic in Canada, in Ontario right now, or in Canada right now, I believe it is, Doug, or Ontario, there's only been two children that have died under the age of 20 for this applied, the so-called COVID vaccine, which both of them had comorbidity situations that actually attributed to the death. But that's all they've attributed to this whole thing since the year it's been in society. And yet we got school shut down. We got plastic barricades being put up amongst kids. They can't do recess. They can't interact with each other. The damage we're doing to our children is going to take a generation to heal. What we've done so far, the trauma, so unnecessary. Everything they're doing is just insanity. Why are we allowing this to go on? Because we know the power of the unions, Doug, and we've got to put that to a stop. We really do.
Well, this is funny. We were at the rally yesterday. And I've asked police officers, right? You go up to them, and I'm not trying to be a nasty person or anything like that. Oh, you silly pig, blah, blah, blah. Or being a peacenik by sticking a daisy in the end of their rifles. I don't But I go up to them with a, you know, hey, how you doing? Nice day today, beautiful sunny day. And then the weather's nice. And, you know, you enter into a conversation. And then I ask them, why are you guys and your union, why are you guys and your union supporting defund the police? And they go, what? What do you mean? And I said, well, you support defund the police. Your union supports defund the police. And he goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, by doing lockdowns, that's supportive defunding the police. Do you know that small and medium-sized businesses make up about 70% of the city's budget? So by locking down small and medium-sized businesses, you're actually putting yourself out of work. You're defunding the police. And the looks on their faces when I say that, they're like, what? Get out of here. I said, don't. Go do the research yourself.
Yep. Yep. Well, small business is the backbone of our country.
Correct.
And it's being destroyed, of course.
And with the support of the police that they're looking to defund by doing this. It's like, how insane is that?
Those psychopaths, they're sitting in the little Ivy Towers right now going, how cool is this?
Yeah, we're getting the cops.
Look what we got them doing.
They must be
they're rolling.
A couple of weeks ago, Fauci came out with additional masking, right? And I bet you it started this way, behind the curtain, you know, before he goes on camera, he's talking to some guy, and some guy says, you know, hey, Dr. Fauci, I bet you I can get people to wear two masks. And Fauci says, hold my beer, I'll get them to wear three. And he goes out on camera and says, yeah, two masks is okay, but three masks is better, and probably four masks will be the best protection. And I'm thinking, and then he goes off, and he does the high five with the guy. The guy owes him $20 because he got people to put on three masks. And he just must be laughing his ass off at how absolutely. Well, here's the joke for you. This is from this year. What's the most washed part of the human body today?
I've heard it already, and I forgot the punchline. Go ahead.
The brain.
I should have had that one, Doug. I should have, shame on me. I should have had that. Okay.
That's okay. You're getting a little older, and the mental acuity is not as good as it used to be.
Wait, hold on there, bud. My mouth is still moving okay most days. Some days it gets a little twisted up. Some days I get off on what I'm thinking about. I have a bad habit of doing that when I'm listening, especially when I listen to somebody that's got intelligence on the other side of the microphone talking about stuff, and I got a great thought, boy, all of a sudden it's gone, and I can't get it back. I should start writing it down. But that happens to me a lot. But that's why I like getting guys like you on, especially when we talk about stuff like the vaccine and what's going on with that, Doug. I mean, the numbers. Well, no, listen, I'm trying to, you know, mainstream hasn't reported. I said in the first hour there that the Porter, I think it's called the Porter Creek Old Age Home in Barrie, Ontario, where the 66 deaths have been reported since the 10th of January.
Yeah.
And the information I got, and this wasn't put out on mainstream, and I'm trying to verify. So listen, if I'm wrong on this statement, apologize. But my understanding is that there was a group of 128 of them that volunteered to take the vaccine in that home. And the deaths are occurring in that group. But that was not spoken about at all on mainstream. I wonder why, if it is true. Yeah, and do you know anything about it?
I don't. I've been out west here. I saw a little blurb about it on Facebook, and I've seen it on Yahoo. But I never really got too deeply into it, other than reading a headline and then the first paragraph of one of the articles and stuff. But right. But here's the problem, and this is what people need to wake up to. It's not a vaccine. They call it a vaccine, so they have protection. The liability protection. So they call it this vaccine, Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson. They call this a vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. It's an experimental chemotherapy, gene therapy drug. That's exactly what it is. And that's what they call it, too. Their internal working papers do not call it a vaccine. They right. Pfizer actually started doing mRNA studies for chemotherapy. And this was supposed to be part of their chemotherapy that they were then going to bring out. And then suddenly this magic virus came by, and they knocked the knock the first part of it off, chemotherapy, because who wants to take chemotherapy for a vaccine? And then they decided, oh, hey, wait a minute. They're looking for a vaccine, so the governments will let us lie to the people, and we're going to experiment, because this is pure experimental gene therapy.
Right,
and
RNA.
It has nothing, mRNA, it has nothing to do with protecting you from a virus. It actually doesn't qualify as a vaccine. It doesn't fulfill any of the obligations that would make it a vaccine. So, but it does fulfill this. Under the Nuremberg Code, it does fulfill, I think it's Article 47 of the Nuremberg Code. I don't have it handy. Let's see if I have it on my desk. Oh, yes, it's right here on my desktop. So under the Nuremberg Code, okay, it fulfills, the 1947 Nuremberg Code, permissible medical experiments, okay?
Right.
The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or any ulterior form of constraint or coercion, should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him or her to make an understanding and enlightened decision.
Right. And of course, they're going to go completely against that, Doug. I mean, they're telling us that they're not going to mandate this vaccine in public, but they're going to make it so difficult for a person like myself who's going to refuse it to do business going forward in the future that you'll pretty well be forced to take this vaccine.
But here's the problem. It's not a vaccine. They've lied to you that it's a vaccine.
Okay. I'm using that term because I'm talking to the public right now. But
no, when I talk to the public, it's not a vaccine. I tell them it's not a vaccine. This is gene therapy. This is experimental gene therapy. And you have to be informed in order for them to stick it in you. And if you're not being informed, if you're not being told that this is not a vaccine, that this is experimental gene therapy, then they've broken the Nuremberg Code. And guess what happens when you break the Nuremberg Code?
Go to jail.
No. You go to the gallows. There is no jail involved in Nuremberg. It was all about the gallows.
I definitely have to change my terminology then, Doug, because, of course, I'm referring to that because that's what the public's being told. But I know that people that I'm talking to in the public now are starting to look into what you're talking about and some of the stuff they're putting into this vaccine and the amount of time it came to come forward. People really have to understand that never has a so-called vaccine been brought so quickly to the public ever in the history of medicine.
Because it's experimental gene therapy that was going to be used in chemotherapy.
Right.
So no kidding, it came out fast because, hey, wow, look at the opportunity we have to experiment with this stuff that we would have had to take 20 or 30 years to do. We can do the experiment in 1 year and make billions doing it because we'll sell it as a vaccine, even though it's not. We'll just lie to everybody.
Are we in La La Land, Doug?
Did we
wake up in a new dimension or something in the last year? Because
we walked through a door into the multiverse.
We walked through a portal. We did.
Exactly.
I'd like to go back a couple years even now, man. At least things weren't absolutely insane, but they are really Trudeau. If you heard what he said the other day here in Canada, we're going to have everybody vaccinated by September. And I think that was a slip up out of his mouth, but they are really going to ram this down our throats, Doug. And I hope that enough Canadians are awake at this point to say, hey, take it and shove it. Go ahead.
I'm willing to hold him down. Well, take 50 or 60 or 100 vials of this stuff and inject it into him. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could probably find 10 other people that would volunteer to hold him down. And probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people that would handle the syringe to pump it into him.
I know.
You want us to take the vaccine? You first. And here's mine. And here's a whole bunch of volunteers that are going to give you theirs as well.
Well, they're not talking just about one now. They're talking about two or three or four. Or let's just do, you know, every year or a couple every year, man, just to keep you safe. But it's not going to stop you from getting it. It's not going to stop you from passing it. It's not going to stop you from wearing a mask. It's not going to stop social distancing. None of that stuff is going to stop. It's just you're going to take it. And what, 99.8% of us, Doug, are not affected by this so-called magic virus in any shape or form to begin with. So what am I missing here, my friend?
Well, these guys, you know, those private jets and those nice yachts, they're expensive. And the upkeep on them is expensive. And when you have like half a dozen homes that are 60,000 square feet crossed across the globe, and you have two or three private jets that have to be replaced every couple of years because the airframes, you know, they get a little wore out, so you want a brand new private jet and all the new bells and whistles. I mean,
gotta keep Bill, Gates, Wilsons.
Bill Gates did a beautiful little live stream off of his $650 million yacht.
That's it? $650 million? That's it?
Telling people that they had to get into the Green New Deal and stop using what he calls fossil fuels or abiotic fuels, which is what they really are. And he did it from a $650 million yacht.
Yeah. Hypocrisy.
And John Kerry, who flies around on his private jet, and Mitt Romney on his private jet, John Kerry is the new Green Deal czar. And he comes out and he says, people, you've got to stop producing carbon dioxide because I can't get my new jet up in the air if you guys continue to produce carbon dioxide. My carbon footprint needs to be – I would have to then not buy a new private jet. You people have to stop producing this stuff so I can, you know, travel the world in comfort and style. I mean, I don't want to fly first class commercial. Are you kidding? I have private jet.
He's got to have that so we can get to these meetings in a prompt amount of time, buddy, you know, because he's saving the world. Well, so he's exempt. He's exempt only because he's saving us.
Yeah, right. What was his name? Al Gore flew to the Paris Accord meetings on his private 737, and then got into his SUV there were four SUVs that traveled in a convoy with him in one of them because you don't want to know which one. But these are Cadillac Escalades and they're fully armored. So they weigh about twice as much as the regular Escalade does, and they get about 1 mile
to a gallon.
1 kilometer to a gallon.
Greta was in one of those, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. She was. Hello. You know, the hypocrisy. Oh, Jesus. Laws for us, but not for you. Oh, thank you very much. Now, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I think the people are going to wake up, and hopefully a lot sooner than later.
Well, you know what? Honestly, I'm surprised in Terrace here that there is some people starting to wake up, Doug, slowly. And I'm finding that from conversations in the public. But it really seems the majority of them are still just walking around with masks on. I go into the grocery store, and I'm the only guy in there without a mask on. Anywhere I go, still at this point, I'm hoping some anti-maskers start showing up in these stores. But everywhere I go, I seem like the only guy in there without a mask on right now. So I think Terrace is still asleep, but we're working on it, buddy.
But, Barry, we aren't anti-maskers. We are just people that say, hey, you have the right to wear a mask. Now leave us alone because we also have the right not to.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead. But don't tell me I got to put one on, especially knowing what I know.
Exactly. And same with the vaccines. I'm not anti-vaccination. I'm just my choice is it's my body, and I will put what I want into it, and that's my choice. And if you want to put the poison into your body, you go ahead, and I won't stop you. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. You know, the research is there. All you got to do is Google it, and you could Google it. I mean, of all things. Oh, my God, you Google. Oh, and there's the research. Oh, my God, there it is.
Yeah, and it seems the sector of our society they're targeting the most is the elderly, Doug.
People, my friend, people just, they are on the internet. They'll watch TikTok. They'll watch some cat stuff on YouTube, but they won't type into the search engine mRNA vaccine. They won't. Why? They won't type into the search engine, are masks good? No. No, no, no. But I got a cat video that I want you to see. Well, I got a TikTok thing I want you to see. Well, I was on Twitter and Trump's orange man bad, you know, Sleepy Joe good, Sleepy Joe good. Wake the heck up, ladies and gentlemen. Ugh.
Well, all you have to do, buddy, is keep them entertained, okay? Yeah. I mean, things started going a little bit south, so they brought back hockey. We know that entertainment is their mechanism of keeping society distracted, and it works very, very well. I'll go to the coffee shop, and the boys are talking about who won the hockey game last night, yet my country is falling apart. My country is being destroyed in front of our eyes, and they are more concerned about who won the hockey game. Well, what happened in Rome, man, but before just the Roman Empire collapsed? I mean, look at gladiator sports and how violent they got. Doug, do we see any comparisons to today? With the mixed martial arts, I mean, they're at a point now where they're almost killing each other in the ring, and people are lapping this up. Well, come on, folks, look at history and look what happens to society when that level of violence is condoned within that society. And there's many examples of it in history. That society will collapse, Doug. But look what they're doing to our kids. I mean, a kid at 6 years old picks up a game, any one of these games, and all they portray is violence, sex. Whatever is bad in the world is in these video games, and it's being programmed into our kids as soon as they can pick one up. And of course, parents love this because there's the babysitter. Kid's happy, he's playing his game, leave him alone. And yet what we're putting into their minds at their very early age, combined with everything else we're doing to them, and you wonder why society, why kids are turning out like crickets with guns these days.
Yeah.
It's all relevant, man. It's all relevant. Everything they're doing to our children. It's the one thing that drives me nuts, Doug. Everything we see, what's going on with our children, with gender confusion, with the foods that they're eating, with everything else that's being put into their poor little brains. They're not allowed to be children anymore. I mean, I'm glad I grew up when I did, Doug, because I was a running around little boy getting in trouble. I mean, we were boys. We did everything that boys were supposed to do, and we did it because it made us what we are. We're boys, man. Exactly. And that has completely been taken away from society. And the ramifications of the future, Doug, boggle my mind. And yet everybody goes, oh, that's just fine. Boys can be a tree. They can be a girl. And they're taught this at 5 and 6 and 7 years old. You have transgenders doing shows at libraries to our kids, and society's allowing this to go on. It just drives me insane, buddy. It drives me nuts.
and they're creating this dysphoria. And it's done on purpose so that people never will get together. The whole idea is to keep people separate. Because if suddenly everybody said, wait a minute, just because you have black skin and I have brown skin and he has white skin, we're not the enemy. And just because this guy likes to believe he's a girl, he's not really our enemy. And this woman over here likes to believe she's a man, she's not our enemy. But our enemy is the people that are trying to get this division going to us. That's right. Our enemy. And that's who we have to focus on. And that's what they don't want. Because by keeping us divided, we're focusing on the black guy over there, the brown guy over there, the transgender over here, the man with pink hair who thinks he's a girl over there. We're all on all of this. And so we're not focusing on where we should be focusing on, which is the parasites. And that's the powers that be. I call them the parasites. A lot of people say, that's the elite. And I say there's nothing elite about them. They are parasitical, and they are parasites. That's the only way that they can survive is to steal our life force.
Yeah, and they're the masters at it, Doug. They really are.
They would like you to believe that they are the masters of it, and they are not. Once that curtain is pulled back and you see them for what they are, these like alien mind-sucking creatures, You ever see the movie They Live? They Live? What was his name? Roddy Piper was in it, and it was a John Carpenter movie from the 80s, where he puts on these sunglasses and, oh my God, you know? Never seen it?
Well, they are the masters of creating divisions in our society, okay?
Yes.
And that's what I meant to, that's my point, Doug. They're not the master, but they are very, very good at creating divisions in our society. Even they don't look like a division, they're divisions. Yes, they've been doing it for many, many years, and they turned society upside down, and they have turned us against each other. And it didn't come in a few years. They sat down in think tanks 30, 40, 50 years ago and laid down what was going to be happening in 2021 in our world, and they are there. And if we don't stop it, It ain't never going to go away, my friend, ever.
Well, that's why we have to come out of the haze. Wake
we do. Up. We do. You know, I sometimes I just want to bang my head against the wall when I realize, Doug, when I realize how much trouble my country's in. I get it. I really know what's going on here. And the general public is still walking around in a daze. And that, you know, it's very frustrating for me. I said that the first hour. It is frustrating. But it's not going to stop me from doing what I'm doing because maybe, I impacted that lady yesterday about the masks on her children. Just maybe I did. And if I did, that's a great day, buddy. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I agree with you 100%. 100%. I don't like getting angry with anybody. You know, people want to come after me for not wearing a mask. Unless you're going to, you know, come after me with violence, I try to be as calm and collective as possible.
Hey, Barry.
And go ahead.
I wanted to ask you a question before we ended the hour.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. See,
there was a lot of indication that George Orwell expected to have his novel come to fruition by 1984. That's why one of the reasons why he named it 1984. Why do you think they wasn't able to do that, Doug?
That's a good question. Well, technologically, we weren't there yet with computer systems. We were, you know, the home computer system that was brought about by Apple. I mean, that's who started that whole thing. Was in its infancies in the early 80s. It wasn't until the 90s and the early 2000s that computing and the internet and all that really started to take off. And then the social media came along. So all of these infrastructures that were needed to take over the world weren't in place. But those same infrastructures that they wanted to take over the world were also the infrastructures that could work to their own demise, which is the beautiful part of this, is that we the people, that and I've heard David Rockefeller was asked this question years ago, and he said he was asked, what's the one invention, if you could go back in time, what's the one invention that you would stop from being created? And he said, the internet. He said, the internet will be our demise.
Actually, that was his brother that said that.
I'm sorry. Okay. There you go.
Okay.
I knew it was a Rockefeller. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. Excellent. And so... You see today how the big tech companies are blocking certain viewpoints. And, you know, what's his name? Dorsey, the Twitter dude. You know, he's come up with a brand new business model. It's called bankruptcy. It seems that he's rushing right off the cliff with bankruptcy. He got rid of, 70 million Twitter accounts after Biden got elected. And he's wondering why his income stream has gone down to negative. gee whiz, Jackie boy.
I do wonder why.
I don't know. Maybe because you just cut your own throat. You know, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Woof. So I don't know. I hope that answered your question. Because now, I don't think that 1984 will come to fruition, to be honest with you. I think that the same tools that they're using against us, we're getting better at using them against them.
Well, we better do it pretty quick, Doug, because their power base is expanding at light speed.
Oh, that's what they want you to think. Their power base is actually contracting at light speed because their whole fiat system is collapsing. And that's the lifeblood.
The current system in place, they still have control over the population. I know that system's going to collapse.
And it's all part of it.
That's all part of a master plan, I believe, Doug.
Yeah. For now, they have control.
Yeah, well, for now they do, because the fiat currency is still in place, our current systems. It's going to be interesting to see when those systems collapse where we go with that and what happens, because I believe that's going to be something they do, or that's inevitable at this point. Do you believe that? I believe that. We only got about a minute left to talk, Doug. I'm going to have to let you go, but your last thoughts on that, real quick.
I'm going to give you a quote from William Wallace.
Okay.
Freedom.
Okay. Well, that's a good last comment, buddy, if I ever heard one. Hey, Doug, you know, it's always great having you in. This hour's gone by really quick, as they always do. I look forward, buddy, to the next time we talk. So before you leave, tell people again where they can find you and where they can follow you.
Myth is Canada. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Brighteon. We are on Rumble. We are on BitChute. We are on Twitter. We are on Gab. We are opening up our MeWe accounts probably in the next week. You can reach me directly through the mythiscanada.ca or .com website, or via email at themythiscanada@yahoo.com. And I'm Doug Forrest from the Myth is Canada, and I will see you, Barry Prince, down in Calgary next weekend.
I was just going to say, Friday night, Doug, I hope I'm shaking your hand, my friend.
Well, I'll be there Saturday morning. I won't be there Friday night.
Well, regardless, when I get to see you, buddy, I'm going to give you a big hug, so be ready.
Yes, sir. Hugs over mass. Hugs over mass.
Okay, thanks, Doug, again, buddy, and we will do this again soon, I promise.
Okie dokie, I'll hold you to it.
Okay. Okay, folks, I'm awake. I'm away for about 3-4 minutes, and I've got Kevin Gallagher and his wife joining me. I've never talked to, so I'm looking forward to this from the Truth Be Told Network, and I'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes with Kevin and his wife.
We think it's real nice to have freedom of speech. Grateful for that right. No complaints about liberty. It's just sometimes exchanges online get me. I'm at my keyboard with anonymity. And then I get fired up and I post. Get some likes and some views. I love my opinions. Others are inferior to me.
Dying down, have we let it go?
We will not know, 'cause now-
www.peoplesinternetradio.com Seeking solutions.
Welcome back to the third hour, guys, and thanks again to Doug Force. Always enjoy talking, gentlemen, and look forward to possibly seeing him on Saturday morning this week. Third hour here, I'm joined by Kevin Gallagher and his wife, Barbara. I've never talked to his wife before, so I'm kind of looking for this opportunity to have a conversation with her today. Kevin has a network called the Truth Be Told Radio Network, and I'll let him share a little bit about that and where he can be heard. And thanks for joining me today, Kevin. Looking forward to our conversation, my friend.
Hey. Thank you very much, Barry. It's great to hear your voice again. And yeah, just so people have a little background about me, I'll do it very quickly. I am the founder, CEO of the Truth Be Told Radio Network. We are a Christian radio network that focuses on, of course, teaching all things Christian from the Bible, but we also will talk about the secret societies, the great cabal, their great so-called work, et cetera, and do it through the prism of a biblical filter. So really, there's nobody out there that's doing that. And so we have everything from, you know, straight, you know, hardcore Bible teachers to people that teach really a lot about just what's going on with the secret society. So I have everybody here from John Kilpatrick to Freeman. And we've been growing. We've been on the air for about April 10th, day before my birthday, it'll be 3 years. So we're very much into getting the network out in as many ways as possible. We're very aggressive towards going after anything with, say, smart speakers or smartphones. So as it stands right now, it's over 4.2 billion, that's with a B, billion devices on the planet are smart capable. So every one of those devices can hear our network. And so we've done things like design the skills and stuff for the Amazon devices, Google, et cetera, Siri. And so all of those devices can be used to listen to the radio network. I know they spy on you and everything else, but as a broadcaster, I mean, why would you not take advantage of reaching over 4.2 billion devices? You have to do it, you know? So I wanted to let my wife here say a couple of quick words and say hello to everyone, Barry, and Barb, the world, Barb.
Hi, everyone. Yeah. And hi, Barb. It's nice to meet you. tonight on the radio, and I was looking forward to spend this time, this hour, and I'm sure God has something for us tonight. And we just want to be, we just want to bless the people, and I know God is going to do something awesome.
Cool. Well, it's my, like I said, that's the first time I've ever had a chance to talk with you, Barbara, and you got to be a good woman if you can put up with Kevin.
Oh, you better know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty mild.
But I didn't have to throw that one in there. That's
yeah, you know, that's all right.
The old cliche, like, you know, the old cliche.
Cliche.
But,
you know.
But what I would thought we'd kind of get into is how we met. It's a really interesting story about how my wife and I met. And it just shows God's hand at work in people's lives. And I think at this point in time right now for where we are around the world, I know you're in Canada, we're in the United States, there's people listening all over the world through the different networks that are carrying this show, including my own. You know, people are all feeling a sense of hopelessness. There's a really ominous heaviness that's really I can feel over my own country. I know it's probably pretty much the same thing in Canada where you are. And, you know, the thing is that you have to be able to maintain a sense of hope. You have to be able to have that sense, because without that, people tend to go nuts. They tend to lose it. Hope keeps you sane, keeps you anchored, keeps you focused. And it's really easy to trust and believe in God when everything's going your way. You know, you stick out your thumb and the first car pulls over and drives you all the way to your destination. Hey, it's really easy. But when nothing's going your way, the traffic's all going the opposite direction and you got a 100-mile walk ahead of you, are you still going to have the same zeal to trust God as you did when you got the ride on the very first car? So, you know, these are the times that we're living in. All the traffic is going the other way. You got your thumb out and there's not a car coming your direction. And I think that's how a lot of people are feeling. You know, when you go back, what year was that? 2016 when we met? Was it 2016? Yes. She ran a church for 17 years. You got to really talk to this lady. She's got a lot of great stories. She's an ordained minister. So she's got the REV in front of her name. And she ran a church for 17 years with her then husband, and sadly he passed away, I guess was that 2015? Yeah, 2015. He passed away from cancer. So I was going there for there was a healing service going on. She had somebody in who had a really powerful healing ministry, and my knees were notorious for years. I had a lot of problems with them. And I had a friend who had a sister who was in stage 4 cancer and she was dying. And so what happened was I told my friend Maria, yeah, I'll go and help you out, help you get your sister out of the van and help, you know, help get her up the stairs and this and that. And that was the only reason why I was going, was to help her out.
Yeah. And elevator.
And so what happened was there was a glassed-in foyer there, and I walked into that foyer because I was looking around how to get into the place. I'd never been there before. My right foot came down in the foyer, and I could feel the breath right behind me from my left ear. I could feel the breath of the voice that said, "You're going to meet your wife here." And I turned around to look, and there was nobody there. And so I said, "Oh, okay." And so I just continued about my business, and we helped get her into the church and everything. And as it turns out, I only told one person that went to that church what happened, so that if I did wind up meeting somebody there and getting married to them, I would have a witness to the testimony. As it turns out, I wound up marrying the pastor of the church.
Mm. Wow.
And that's my wife. So. Wow. You know, God can do things when you're not looking, when you're not expecting things to happen. I had nothing in my mind that day about looking for a wife or anything like that. I was the only thing in my mind was helping my friend's sister be able to get in that church so that she could be at that service. And so that's initially how we met. I want her to fill in some of the blanks that I'm sure I'm leaving out. But it's a fascinating story, and Barb, why don't you fill in whatever I left out?
Well, Kevin came to the Burning Bush Church Of course, I never met him before. It was his first time, and I don't really remember him all that well when he came with this person, but he came to bring her to the healing service. And he didn't know that he thought I was still married, I guess, because the names were not taken off on the front foyer door. And my late husband passed away from cancer. He'd suffered cancer for about 3 years. He had bladder cancer. And so I was considering to turn the church over, to my son, because he was taking care of the church while I was spending most of my time at the hospital with my late husband. And at that time when Kevin came back to the service another time, he came for another service, and then I got to meet him. And I looked at him. I said, gee, there's something about this person. It was like a connection. It was spiritual. That's all I can say. It was just something there. And I think, wow, I never felt that before like this, even though, I've had a beautiful marriage before. And I, of course, would be still married to my late husband. But anyways, God had other plans as well. So after the death of my late husband, I was praying and seeking the Lord and for direction and everything. And so the Lord said to me, I felt like the Lord said to me, you will love again and you will marry. And that was the thing I didn't even want to hear. I didn't even want to know anything about any of that. The way I so felt and everything, I just didn't. And so I went and told my daughter. I said, you won't believe what the Lord said. And I felt that he said that I would love again and marry. She said, oh, my, you know what? You're still young and you got a lot of life in you. And, and I could see you, starting your life, even though, dad had gone on, but, you still have good years left to, and you should be happy. And so I felt, and that's when after I met Kevin and there was a spiritual attraction, I would say, there, and God, the rest is history.
Like it was meant to be. And
yeah.
It was a divine intervention, and I'm glad you guys found each other and that you're supporting each other. Nothing is more important in life than have a partner that you're absolutely supporting and vice versa, and you're both on the same page and you're both working together to do good things. And I can only say thank God.
Yeah, and even though, Christians marry, and a lot of and that's what another thing I think, Christians, I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ. I like to say there are Christians and there's believers, I feel that the believers out there, especially at this time in history, they really need to guard their families. They need to really build up their families and encourage one another and stick close together. I know with this pandemic, it had made families back together more. And a lot of the parents are home and with their children and things like that. And that part is good. And I think that I hear that because a lot of the families are more together, there's a lot of problems in marriages and families, and there's all kinds of things happening. And we know that all of that bad stuff comes from the pit of hell. And because the enemy hates family and he hates families being together, and what better time would it be to destroy a family? And he's not a particular in who he separates, so he doesn't care if it's Christians or non-Christians or whatever. But I believe that the believers need to work, at their marriages and as well as others, and to really build each other up, encourage one another. And also the rest of the body of Christ. The church needs to come together and be the church, as God intended. And I believe right now there's a big separation from the sheep and the goats and the people that say they're Christians and believers and whatever, and they're playing church and not, you know, really living and walking the talk. Well, God is looking upon how we are living and how we are acting and what we're doing. And he is, you know, he is putting aside his remnant and building his church, not the church that man thinks, but the church that Jesus Christ wants. And if ever a time that he wants souls and people to come into this, into his kingdom, is now. So we need to tell people about Jesus. The most important thing at the end of the day is who we're going to take with us when we leave this planet. We're all going to go somewhere, and we want people to be in heaven with us.
And what's interesting is, Barry, when I met her, we had some conversations. You know, we'd go out to the diners and have coffee, this and that, and talk. And she had said something to me that I'd never really heard before, and the more I thought about it, the more right it sounded. And I'd never thought about churches and going to church in this fashion, but she, you know what I'm going to say, and that is that the church is like a hospital, and that, you know, people – The way churches are, people get all religious and they judge each other, and there's all this junk, all this politics and everything. What if a hospital was run like that? You know, oh well, you know, we only treat people if they, you know, have massive heart attacks. The fact that you have cancer, you're gonna have to stay out here on the side of the road. It doesn't work. And that if the church is treated and thought of like a spiritual hospital where people can get their needs, whatever their total need is, and get the total healing that they need, we'd be a lot better off. And Barb, what do you want to add to that?
Well, you know, I think as a former pastor, you know, every person that comes into the church, at least from, this is the way I thought, is important, because God loves people. We may not. And we may find things that we don't like about somebody, but, you know, God loves everyone. And he desires that none perish but all to come to Jesus. Mm. And so I would think a lot of times people criticize people when they come up to the altar for prayer. And they say, well, gee, why does that person keep going up there all the time? You know, something must be wrong with them or something like that, you know. But I really didn't care how many times they came up to the altar and wanted prayer, because I knew that person wanted to be set free. They wanted to become something better. And I felt that the person that was judging the person that was going up all the time, they should be up there and they should have prayer. So, God looks at things a lot different, you know, as well as we do. And the Bible says we're to judge ourselves lest we be judged. So, you know, and as we point one finger out, three fingers are looking back at us, you know, and we need to look at ourselves.
You know, well, it's a little saying that people that live in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones, should they?
No, you're right. Absolutely. So
I find us living in an absolutely fascinating time right now, where I'm watching biblical prophecy playing out in front of me like clockwork.
Oh yeah,
we could talk about multiple prophecies that are being fulfilled right now, and that's kind of what I'm following right now as a timeline. And I'm looking at lots of things that Revelation and John and the Old Testament tells me about this particular time. The accumulation of events that we're seeing right now that are absolutely uncanny in their part in the timeline that we're looking at, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the age of sorrows, I believe we're in that timeline. I believe that we will see the Antichrist rise very quickly on this planet. This is everything my Bible tells me about this particular time. I've got my popcorn, guys. I'm sitting back on the front seat because we're witnessing an incredible time in human history. And according to my Bible, we're going to go through a lot of crap, excuse my language, before his reign on earth is put in place again. And he will correct everything that we've done wrong. But we are going to see a very, very bad time come. I believe that because it tells me that. But I don't worry about that. I've got my suit of armor on. I say my prayers every day. I'm not a perfect person. He knows that. But he knows where my heart is. And without him in my life right now, I'd be pretty messed up, because the world is a pretty messed up place right now. And as far as families benefiting from these lockdowns, I'm going to push back against that. I think this is the worst thing that's ever happened to families in North America, that we are the rise in domestic violence, the rise in child suicides are right off the scales. The rise in divorces are right off the scales. People are literally losing their minds right now from being locked down. We're not animals. We're not designed to be locked down. We're not designed to wear masks. We're not designed to be socially distanced against each other. We're, all that is absolutely destroying the very fabric of our society. It's coming from a very, very evil place, and his power right now, as my Bible tells me, is growing, and it is going to continue to grow, but it's going to come to a stop, and I take solace in that. What do you think?
Yes,
that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. There is a lot that's happened since, because, we are not used to being separated. We're not used to wearing a mask, and that it was so uncomfortable even for me to wear a mask because I would go to the store, and I just couldn't. And sometimes I need to keep my glasses on, and my glasses would get fogged up. And it's just irritating, and just people looking at you like you're going down the wrong aisle. They look at you like you committed a crime. They look like you're from out of space. And I heard the same thing about the suicides, the marriage breakups, and things like that. And also about the school. The thing that bothers me even about the school, the kids are not in the school, and a lot of them are homeschooled. My daughter always homeschooled before, and then then she moved to another town, and she started putting them into regular school. And then all of a sudden they had the stopping of and they have virtual school. And so that was a different thing that they had to change to that. And so in one minute they're going to school, the next minute they're not going to school. And they're saying that the kids could give it to the COVID to the parents and grandparents and so forth. The thing is that there's a lot to the wearing of the mask, it's to me it's just I'm trying to control people and this COVID thing that's going around too is another story in itself, but it's all evil and it's from the pit of hell. It's from the pit of hell, and it's not from God, and God didn't cause this to happen.
Well, if any logical person that really looks at what's going on right now with the mask issue, all we need to know, for one, is that none of these masks on the market today will stop this so-called virus, a virus that they have yet to isolate. But the normal size of any virus that we're dealing with in the COVID strains is 0.007.0. Microns wide, about 1/16,000th of an inch. Yeah. There is not a cloth mask on the market today that will stop this so-called virus. But will they will do?
It's like trying to stop a golf ball with a hula hoop.
Exactly, or a mosquito with a chain link fence. The same assimilation. You cannot do it. But what it does do to you, it makes you sick. It recycles your carbon dioxide in your own body. It restricts. What folks got to do? Really, if you just go down to your fire department. This will blow you away, folks. Do this. Go down to your fire department. Ask them to use their testing machine. They've got one. It's worth about $4,000. It tests. You can set it on oxygen. You can set it on carbon dioxide. You can set it on all different elements that are in our air. And ask them if they can use it for 10 minutes and take the monitor and check when you're taking air directly into your lungs without any mask on, that you'll see that your parts per 100, I believe it is, or parts per 1,000, or is it parts per 100, 21 parts, okay? But if you put a mask on, that immediately drops between 17 and 17.5 parts. So you're restricting the amount of oxygen that goes into your brain. But if you also take that test and that monitor and set it on carbon dioxide, you'll find out that you're recycling between 15 and 18% of the carbon dioxide that you're supposed to be exhaling into the air is going back directly into your lungs. It's called hypoxia. And what it does to children, it can cause absolute unrepairable neurological damage to a developing mind. And this going on in my society, folks, is the one thing that I want to just grab people by the neck and scream at them, that what you're doing to your child is absolutely, it's criminal. It's criminal. Where is the thinking brain? Why can't people just take a look at what the other side of the story is? This is insane. That's why I had to stop the other day, Kevin, and talk to these people. I had to sit and just explain it to her. that this what you're doing, you think that you're protecting your child, but what you're doing is absolute insanity. Just take a look at some of the information out there and tell me if I'm insane, but I'm not. It really drives me nuts, guys. It really does.
I'll tell you what happened to me a couple days ago. We had stopped at a up the road from us is a Stop and Shop supermarket, big, real big market. And we had to run in to pick up just a couple of quick things. And so, you know, it's just a habit, get out of the car, run in. And then I'm all the way down to the other clear side of the store at the dairy because I had to pick up some milk and realized, wow, I don't have my mask on. So then I go walking back out through the store and I'm covering up my face with my hand. My wife is over in the produce section. She looks over at me real weird, like, what are you doing? I take my hand off my face, and she's like, oh, okay. I go, give me the keys. And I went out, and I got the stupid face mask and went back in the store, and I'm like, this is crazy. This is insanity, because there's signs up everywhere. You can't enter without a mask and this and that, and it's like a scene out of the Body Snatchers or something where the guy sits there and points at you and goes, somebody's not wearing a mask, you know? It's just, it's like, what is this? Is this what I guess it has come to, not just in this country, not just in your country, but worldwide, this is what it's come to? I mean, seriously?
Kevin, I haven't put a mask on since the start of the charade. Yeah. I go into stores all the time in Terrace here. I walk in the door, they say, you got to put a mask on. I turn to them and say, I've got a medical exemption. I walk in the store and do my business. Yeah. The only place in Terrace that has refused me is Walmart. But all the other box stores, I've walked in, told them I have a medical exemption under my Charter of Rights and Freedoms in Canada. My Charter of Rights trumps your provincial health orders, and people have to realize that their rights are being taken away. They have to realize what their rights are, and if you stand up against these tyrants, they will back down.
Yeah, well, the thing is, once you've given up the rights, you know, they come up with a perceived emergency of whatever, they've taken the rights, you're just not going to get them back without a major fight. And that's how it's been through history. I don't care what country it is, what day and time it is, human nature has not changed and will continue to go right along the same path. And unfortunately, that's just the way the things work nowadays, and for that matter, always have.
Well, the only way they're going to get a mask on me is they hold me down and put it on my face. The same thing with this so-called vaccine, which isn't a vaccine. It's an experiment on the human race, man, changing our DNA, what's in this thing. It's absolutely astounding me that this is being rolled out in public and people are rolling up their sleeves for it. But then the people that are walking around with a mask right now are the people that are rolling up their sleeves. And it's really sad to see this go on in my society. It really is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, some people, you know what, Kevin? I've gotten to the point now that some people will just never listen. They will never accept truth. That they're almost at the point where they're unreachable. But there is a large sector of our society now that is starting to ask some serious questions.
Well, so it's about good, time.
It is. It's getting. I'm seeing changes.
Well, the thing is that you know, it's they're trying to brainwash the people, and they've got the people so. So bound in fear that you do crazy things when you're fearful. You'll just do about anything when you're in that kind of panic or anxiety. And there's a lot of people walking around like that. And so, and then the church is closed down on top of it. So they can't even get there. And that's on occasion that they can. That's on and off. And so there's a lot of things have changed drastically in that, people don't know what to make of things. And the biggest thing about fear is that, people want things to become normal. They're not going to have it normal being fearful, and because you're not even thinking straight at this point, so you're bound to do anything that you would normally not do if you weren't operating in fear.
Yeah. And the thing is with fear, I mean, you had the mass media all over the world that just went completely nuts, all reading off the same script and just pumping the fear up about, COVID. And best I can tell is it falls somewhere between the flu and the common cold in intensity. And it has it kills people that already have compromised immune systems. The rate of the kill rate on it is very low. It's less than 1%. And just about every time you see it, it's with someone older, compromised immune system, and these are the people that are dying from it. I mean, the young kids that are in school, they don't need to worry about them. They got all the schools shut down. All the social experimentation is going on. Kids don't get this. And if they do, they just it's like water on a duck's back for them. Now, you're always going to have anomalies. Yeah, you're going to have the occasional kid, somebody in their 30s or 40s that drops dead from it. But this is not why we shut down societies. We don't, you know, the seasonal flu, when you look at the CDC's own numbers, it's around 40,000 a year. And when you look at their numbers having to do with just pure COVID-19 deaths, it's around 10,000 from the whole time. It doesn't make any sense until you look at the fact that there's a massive agenda, and this is what people are not looking at. Attached to the virus by a paperclip is a massive agenda.
Right. How can they classify something COVID-19 when no lab in the world has yet been able to isolate this virus, and that's a fact?
Exactly.
How can they do that? How can they create a so-called vaccine to treat something if they can't isolate it?
Exactly.
That is absolute lunacy. There's a book that Klaus Schwab just put out. I know Steve's been reading it, called The Great Reset, COVID-19, The Great Reset. And what we're seeing with COVID-19 is nothing to do about a virus. It's about the complete destruction of our society, the destruction of our economy, the destruction of the family unit, the destruction of our children, the destruction of everything that we hold dear is being destroyed in front of our face. Our family units are falling apart. Anytime in history a family unit has fallen apart in a society, that society has collapsed.
And yep, going exactly. Down the same, that's the plan.
The same page right now. Steve, you've been reading The Great Reset. Have you finished that book yet?
No, not yet.
But I'm going to try and get a copy of that and read it because he's apparently – I haven't read the book.
Break down the family.
But people that have that I've talked to says it's pretty well a playbook is exactly what they're doing right now and what they're going to be doing going forward. We're never going to see the end of this. The Canadian government's already announced that the third wave is coming out in April. Then they're talking about a fourth wave coming later on this year. Our health minister is talking about us having to wear masks and social distancing and isolation and all this other crap for another 2 years. And yet, if you look at Canada right now, Kevin, folks, the numbers are plummeting in the last week. Our numbers have gone down almost to nothing on cases, yet the government's talking about more restrictions. Yeah.
Say,
people
Barry,
got to wake up to this, folks. Go ahead, Steve.
I don't know if I passed it to you or not or even mentioned it to you, but they already have the agenda set out from 2025 to 2028. I'll pass that link in the chat here.
Yeah, and I believe that. See, they're planning 3-4 years ahead right now because they're seeing what they're doing right now in public. They're seeing what society's doing to what's being put to them now. They know the reaction they're getting is the one they've wanted. They're absolutely drunk with power. This is never going to go away. We'll never, ever, ever have a so-called normal society again unless people can get together and stand up and put a stop to it. If they don't, we're just continue to see our rights taken away. We're in Canada right now, folks. We're in a soft communist coup, and it is just accelerating at light speed. People got to wake up.
Same here.
Go ahead.
Same here.
Kevin Barber.
Yeah, I mean, they're following the communist playbook here, and people just, you know, what they've done. If you kind of go backwards in time and you look at right after Trump was put into power. You know, he wasn't supposed to win. I've told people, and you've heard me tell you this, the election of Donald Trump was a miracle because the machines, no matter what was going to happen, Hillary was supposed to go in. And they underestimated, as far as I can tell, they really underestimated how much support he actually had. It overwhelmed their algorithms and everything else, and he wound up getting elected. You remember in 2016 – yes, Steve, I got that link. I'll check it out. In 2016, when you remember they were at the Jacob Javits Center, and then it was like 2 a.m. and everything, and then finally a drunken Hillary comes out because she thought she was going to be coronated and carry on the work that Obama had laid down for 4 years. Now what we have is a continuation, I think, of Obama's policies because when you take him and his VP, it's Obama bin Biden. Obama right, bin Biden. And we have the Obama bin Biden. We have third term And that's now continuing. But what's happened is Trump came in and disrupted everything. And that's why they went after him with such, viciousness, because he wasn't supposed to be there. And they knew that he could really gum everything up for him. And to some degree, he did. And so what happens is now we're seeing that they did everything that they could. They had a year and a half or so when they – really 4 years where they set everything up to hinge on to the elections that just happened here in November. And they had the COVID come in. They had all that. They got all the mass hysteria. They had time to set up all the vote fraud with the election fraud with the mail-in voting. They did all of that. We know what the results were. I think that if you looked at the popular vote and we could get through all the – I call them the magical mystery machines, the vote fraud machines, the electronic voting machines. If you get through everything that they were pre-programmed with, he got well over 90% of the popular vote. But – and they even then, with all the preparation that they had, everything with the mail-in voting where people could vote, dozens of times and this and that. And how many ballots did you get, Barb, sent here to the house? Like three or four?
Yes.
Yeah, my wife got like three or four of them. And so, I mean, she could have sent all of them in and voted four times. They wouldn't have cared. She threw them in the garbage. But what happens is they had all that time to prepare. They had everything set up and ready to go. And unfortunately, I don't think that Trump really understood the depth of hatred against him. I think he probably has a pretty good idea now, because they did an absolutely ridiculous impeachment for a man who wasn't even in office. And if you read our Constitution, impeachment is used for crimes and misdemeanors to remove a president who's in office. He was out of office. So you have an impeachment to remove somebody who's already out of office. And the only reason, in my mind, that they did this was so that they could smear him, so that always on his record, when you look in the history books, it'll say he's the only president that was ever impeached twice. It doesn't matter the outcome. Plus, they're setting up for 2024 where they can say, see how bad the Republicans are. See how bad all this is. You have a president that they just had that was impeached twice. And then they can spin it and do all these things. And then they can bring all that. And remember the stuff with the Capitol? People's memories are really short. And people are going, oh, yeah, I remember something about that. There was a riot or something. And you got Buffalo Boy. I mean, absolute idiocy. So this is what we're dealing with. And you can't straighten out the elections in this country. You can't straighten them out in any country until you get rid of the machines, because you're either going to live by the machine. You're also going to die by the machine, and you're going to have to get rid of them. And they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that these things don't go away. You have their candidate, Biden. He didn't even campaign. He knew he didn't have to campaign. The thing was mailed in already. Why campaign? He quit his campaigns at 8:30 in the morning and did whatever he was going to do, because he knew come November 3rd, he was going to be elected no matter what.
The fix was in. We know that. We know about all the corruption. We know about all the theft. It's unbelievable levels. My feelings on this whole situation are that if this presidency is allowed to go on, that I believe right now that there's still something going on in the background. Now, I've always, over the years, I've kind of sat on the fence with Trump, okay, because somebody to get to his position where he is in the world has always paid off somebody. But in the same mouthful, if you take the equation and look at it, what he has done, and what's going on right now in the U.S. with Joe Biden. I mean, you've got a man that's stepped in there in a month now, not even a month, absolutely turned the U.S. upside down. My feelings are, folks, that if this is allowed to go on, that there isn't some kind of a rise up against the Biden administration, especially what's going to come forward here in the Supreme Courts when these cases are heard here in the next little bit. We see what happened in Arizona with the audit. We see what went on in Michigan. We see about all these places now starting to come forward. 177,000 illegal votes in Michigan would have given Donald Trump Michigan. This is all going to come forward if Donald Trump doesn't put a stop And some, if the American, if America doesn't put a stop to this presidency, there will be nothing left of the United States in 2 or 3 years from now. Yeah. It'll be gone. Everything that you stood for ever will be taken away. So if he doesn't put a stop to this, and I've said this before on my shows, Kevin, because the only way I can see that, if there isn't a stop put to this in some form, if the military is involved, if this presidency isn't nullified because it's totally, totally corrupt, totally illegal, against everything the Constitution stands for, then Trump is a player.
Let me add this real quick, and then I know Barb wants to say something, and that is God judges nations, and nations are judged now because nations don't go forward into eternity. People do. So nations have to be dealt with right now. And so when you look at the fact that we as a church, collectively, corporately, as a body, people went, they saw what was happening and said, oh, my God. They went out in droves. I even went and registered to vote. I haven't voted in years because I understand just how corrupt these machines are. But I said to myself, I need to go and register to vote so that I can at least add my one vote into the system. Because if me and other people like me go and just put their one vote in for Trump and try to pump up as many Trump votes into the system, I can keep the New World Order at bay, back them up a little bit, and slow things down. And the thing is that when they have gone and they've illegally gone and done a coup against this country, this was a coup. Yeah. And the people did not vote these people in. So God cannot hold the people accountable for what these people are doing. Voting, the people are not going to be held accountable for what God is going to have to deal with these people. They're not going to deal with all the nation as a whole. They're going to deal with the people that stole this election and deal with them directly. Because the people did what they were supposed to do. They knew we needed to go and do A, B, C, and D. And when we did that, it's like you follow a recipe. You do everything. You add the eggs. You add the water. You add the milk. You add the sugar. You do all this. You think you're going to get a cake. And then you turn around and you got like really bad tasting brownies. Well, this is what happened in this election. People went and did everything that they were supposed to do. And they figured, okay, well, then Trump's going to be elected. Well, that's not what happened. We saw all the election fraud, all the stuff that was going on. It's all come out later, you know, running the ballots through 5-6 times each and then going to the next batch. Everything that they had to do because they knew that they had to steal this. And so we can't be held accountable as a nation for what these criminals did. God's going to have to hold the criminals accountable. And I very much believe that. So I know, Barb, you've been wanting to say something. So,
well, I remember President Trump saying that he pointed his finger out. He said, they're not after me, he said. They're after you. And I got it. And I said, yeah, I know. We the people, and therefore we the government. And the thing is, people in America remember. And it's still talked about. It has not been forgotten. No, people have not forgotten. People are very uneasy here in America, and it's a very heavy feeling over America. And we feel such a division, and it's sad that this has happened. And there's so much stuff going on. But God is also watching how the church is reacting too. Yeah. And we need to be stepping up our prayer because God answers prayer. We need to still be praying about that God will do something to intervene. He's the only one that can at this point. We've done our part and we should continue to do whatever is necessary. But the thing is that, people here are, they have, and of course we have good memories too for future elections for people if we are able to vote again the right way and get our votes counted. And that's another thing that people are very leery about, the way things have been handled. And then you see your courts and everything, and you look at your country and you say, What could you do? What could you bring to court now? What would they do? Because they don't even want to even hear about fraud in elections and everything.
Well, the greatest thing was when Texas had their lawsuit thrown out because they said they didn't have standing. And that's where you just do a triple take and go, what? Because Texas as a state is at a higher level than the U.S. government. The states created the U.S. government, the federal government. because the states got together and created the federal government in the Constitutional Convention. That which is created cannot be greater than that which created it. And by ruling that Texas didn't have standing, that's exactly what the Supreme Court said. And again, I just did a triple take. I'm like, are you serious? You know, it makes, you know, and this is the depth of insanity that we've devolved into.
Mm. It's sad.
Yeah, we've woke up in La La Land all of a sudden. We've walked through a portal. Just in the last year, what's happened to our society, man? It's just beyond belief. You know, it really is. But it all plays into a timeline, I believe. And we're in that timeline.
It's very interesting. And we're looking for, and Barb will tell you, we pray every day for massive exposure. Because I had a friend of mine who knows what's going on. He's pretty well known. We were talking on the phone, and he said, Kevin, I don't know how to pray. I knew how to pray for Donald Trump. I prayed for him every day. We did. But he's like, I don't know how to pray for people that stole an election, stole a country. I mean, you can't bless these people. You can't bless what they did. You don't bless that which is evil. You don't do that. So the only thing I could tell them is the same thing I'm going to tell everybody listening. We pray for exposure, for God to expose. See, when Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, what he did is first he walked over to the garbage can, removed the garbage can, and everybody looked inside at what was festering and rotting for 4,000 years. He goes, that's why I'm here, because nobody's been able to take the garbage out. And it's been rotting and festering all this time. And then when he went to the cross, died, and resurrected 3 days later, and you had the day of Pentecost come, that's when the trash got taken out. Really, and we have a cleaned up garbage can. The rest of it's going to be done later on, which is still future. But right now, Trump got the chance to basically go with our U.S. government and all the other governments that are connected into it, you know, the New World Order, as we call it. And he took the lid off the garbage can and showed everybody what's been festering in there for generations. He did the same exact thing. He just didn't get the chance to take the garbage out. Now, we can debate and we can use some speculation, which is legitimate, because when you don't have all the facts, you're going to have to speculate a little bit and figure some things out. But I really do think he was blackmailed. There's a lot of people that I've talked to over the years. They say, look, when a new president gets elected, they just show him a picture of Kennedy being the real images, the real film footage of Kennedy being murdered in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, listen, you do what we tell you, because this is what really happened to him, not the edited stuff that we see. And so we don't know if there's nuclear blackmail going on, saying, look, if you don't do this, this, and this, then certain cities are going to get nuked or whatever. And we don't know, and we can speculate, if this is what was maybe holding things back from happening, from Trump being able to do certain things. Because you're hearing all kinds of things. Oh, he signed the Insurrection Act. He did this. He did that. But nothing happened. Nothing mm-hmm. happened. And people still speculate. And we're living in a time right now which is so strange, Barry, because when people ask me, and Barb, she'll tell you, well, I don't know, what could happen? I said, anything could happen. Little green men could land on the lawn of the White House. I mean, anything could happen. Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. We're living in that day and time right now. Anything can happen. And it's just a really weird, strange time that we're in. So we really need to look to God, trust in God, and not trust in men, and know that God is bigger than all of this, and we need to trust in him.
Mm. Amen. Well, we're definitely in a timeline. And like I said, I'm not an expert on revelations. I'm not an expert on prophecies, but I have studied them quite a bit in the last couple of years. And what he's telling us about this particular time, what we're seeing happen on the planet right now, really does get me thinking that we're in those particular times, and his return is coming very soon. We don't know the day of the hour, but he's definitely he's putting signs in front of us that are undeniable, especially when we talk about things that are happening with our weather and geological events around the planet right now are right off the charts. Stuff that we've never seen happen is happening. It's all talked about, and interesting times, exciting, fearful. It's not fearful, but I'm in in fear for millions of people that are going to be led astray or are being led astray, will never see the truth. I can't do anything about millions of people that aren't going to see the truth, but there is people that are hearing and are listening. And those ones we got to focus on.
The most important thing is if people that, especially we see the signs and, you know, the church age coming pretty close to an end, that people need to be prepared. And we live, you know, and that's where our head's in a cloud, but we need to be ready like the 10 virgins, and we have need to keep our oil lamps full. And because we don't know when the Lord is coming back, we just need to be ready. Mm-hmm. And be, you know, rapture ready, I would say. So for the Lord's return. And I know the enemy is trying to speed up the timeline. You know, if he could hitch on to a generation and push it quick, he would do that. But God also has his timing. And so when the enemy comes in like the flood, the scripture says God raises up a standard and he says enough is enough. So, you know, so God has his timetable as well. And so because there's a harvest yet that needs to come, God needs to do something, this mass revival that's not going to be done by any man's hand, but by God's. It's not going to be just for any particular country. It's going to be worldwide. And, you know, God wants to do that, and he will, because he's interested in souls. His redemptive purpose is in that's, even though this is happening in our country, in your country and other countries, still God is, he takes the good out of the bad. And he's in for redemption, saving souls for people to come into his kingdom. And building his kingdom in spite of all of this bad. He doesn't want it to happen quite this way. And he's been blamed for a lot of things. But God is good. And I heard one prophet say God is absolutely good. And he is good. And according to the book of Nahum, it says that God is good. And I believe he is good. So the thing is, he's building his church. He's getting his remnant ready. And God will have his way. And he will have his glory will fall. And we will see revival, a mass revival, in a revival that we've never seen sweep through this world one more time, and then the end will come.
Hmm. Kevin.
Yes.
We have about 6-7 minutes left on the show. Get you out a few thoughts.
Sure. You know what I'm going to do? Why don't you do a call, altar call. Real quick. I'm going to have Barb just do something real quick and go right ahead.
I just want to say one other thing, Barry, that my father was born in Canada in Roxton Pond. And so we're French Canadian. So he came here when I was a little girl. I guess he came here. He was born there, and he came here when he was about maybe 3. Hmm. And I was born here.
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut.
Where you got lots of snow this week.
Oh, yeah. We got an awful lot of snow, and we keep getting snow. Yeah, but the only thing is I never learned how to speak French. I wish I did.
It's all French to me anyway.
Yeah. So, we have Canadian family. I have lots of Christian friends that live in Canada, and praise God. So I just want to say, for the people out there that have never made Jesus their Lord and Savior, what better time than now? You see, that's what's all that's going on in the world. And the Bible says, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And for the people out there that have made that commitment, have walked away, or at this point in their life don't even know where they stand with the Lord, you can be sure tonight. And all you need to do is just say, Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of all my sins. Help me, Jesus, to live for you. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And if you really meant that, you know, God has forgiven you and your name is written in his book. And even though, you know, you may at some time or other mess up, but you can always still look up and ask God to forgive you and move forward. Don't get stuck with guilt or condemnation and stay in that, because that'll keep you separated from the Lord. But run to Jesus. And, you know, because the Holy Spirit will convict us when we do something wrong so that we run to him and not away from him. And just get in the Bible, reading the book of John, and tell somebody about what you just got through doing, accepting Jesus, to cement that relationship and know that God loves you and that he sent his son to die for you on the cross, and you are on his mind. God bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. And Kevin, I'm going to get you out of a couple last thoughts today.
Oh, no problem. Folks, it's a crazy world we live in. So, you know, the thing is, just remember, life is an election, and this one isn't corrupt. It isn't done by corrupt voting machines. And that is, look, God's always voting for you. Devil's always voting against you. So it's your vote that determines which way the election goes. So if you remember that, you're going to do just fine. And so, you know, Barry, I just want to just let everybody know that there is hope. And that's an important thing, because when things seem really hopeless, it gets really weird and people have a really hard time coping. And that you can turn to God in tough times, and God can provide a way when there is no way. And I've seen that before in my life on many occasions. And just trust him. Get your eyes off of everything that you see going on around you and just realize that those are circumstances. This too shall pass. And that it is God who is over and above every situation. So if you want to get in touch with us, it's contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org, contact@truthbetoldnetwork.org. Truth Be Told Network, you can go there, truthbetoldnetwork.org. Click the big listen button. You can listen over a smart speaker. You can load the skill in for Alexa, just say enable Truth Be Told Radio Network, and then after that just say the A word, Alexa, play Truth Be Told Radio Network, and it's playing. And that works in like 80 plus countries where these things are active. Same thing is true with Google and Siri. Just use the wake word, tell it to play. And you can listen 24 hours a day. And Barry, you're on our network live every Sunday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern. So you can check Barry out. If you got a smart speaker, you can listen to a show that way or use your smartphone. And there's a bunch of other ways too. My tuner software, there's a bunch of stuff. But Barry, thank you for the opportunity. I very much appreciate it.
Well, Kevin, I've enjoyed the conversation, and Barb, thanks for joining me today. I've enjoyed hearing from both of you guys today, and it's I know my audience has enjoyed listening to you. You know, my closing thoughts today, guys, are I've said a couple times today on this show, the one thing about this whole situation that drives me insane and brings me to tears every day is what I see going on to our children. And we really have to stop this, folks, because what they're doing to our kids right now is from the pits of hell.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how else to describe what they are doing to our children. And I'm not just talking about what they're doing with the masks and the COVID and the separation and everything else that's going on with this so-called pandemic. It's what they've been doing for years, how they have conditioned our children, how they are indoctrinating them in our school systems, how they are confusing them, how they're feeding their bodies with poisons on a constant basis. It's all got to come to a stop, because we are destroying the very fabric of the future of this planet. And we are going to pay the consequences in the near future if we don't start addressing some of the things we're doing to our children. So, if you know, I'm going to ask for a prayer request today that people pray for our children, and we pray for a stop of this insanity and this evil being perpetrated against our children.
That's
my prayer request today, guys. Thanks for joining me this week, folks. I've enjoyed these conversations really immensely for the last 3 hours. Thanks to everybody that's tuned in. And I am going to say one thing before I leave, and I almost forgot. It's Martin Farrell passed away. I know Martin. I've actually talked to him before a couple times, and he passed away a couple days ago, I guess. What was it, Saturday? I know it's I think it was yesterday or the day before, but anyways, let's all say a prayer for Martin and hope that he's in a better place. So join me again next week, folks. I might be doing the show live from Calgary, Alberta. I hope that's the situation. I'll keep you posted, but regardless, I will be on the air next week. I look forward to hearing and talking to you then. Bye for now. Have a great week. God bless you all.
2, 3. Take me.